Yeah. You just went to the bike show.
Yeah.
Bike show?
Wake them up.
Oh, my. Good work.
That was in the direction of Senator Bonamici. Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
We're a long way away.
Gee. Good afternoon. We're getting ready to go here. We are going. Welcome to the 10th hour of our, over the past 2 days, we've done 9 hours of hearings. This is the beginning. We're going to do 10, 11, and maybe 12 hours. But I call to order the House Committee on Redistricting for April 9th, 2011, and it is 3 o'clock p.m.
Good afternoon. I'm opening the Senate Committee on Redistricting for today, April 9th, 2011.
Thank you. I'd like to personally thank Clackamas Community College for being here today. We are the House and Senate Committees on Redistricting.
Do we have anybody here?
Okay. And let's just start off by having the members of the committee introduce themselves. And if you know, what's interesting is we have a big table here that's blocking us. So if you want to look at us and we can see you, go to the wings of the chairs. That'd be great. But let's go ahead and have the members of the committees introduce themselves. We'll start with Senator Starr.
I'm Bruce Starr. I have the privilege of representing Western Washington County. I live in Hillsborough in Senate District 15.
I'm Senator Suzanne Bonamici. I represent Senate District 17, which is in Washington and Multnomah counties.
And I'm Representative Sean Lindsay, representing House District 30, which is Hillsborough and North Plains. And I'm co-chairing the House Redistricting Committee this year, this session.
Good afternoon. Chris Garrett, represent House 38, Lake Oswego, and part of Southwest Portland.
Good afternoon, State Representative Kevin Cameron, House District 19, South Salem, East Rural Salem, Almsville, and Turner.
I'm Tobias Reed from District 27 in Beaverton.
And we're honored also to have other members of the Legislative Assembly with us. We have Representative Dave Hunt, and it looks like Representative Patrick Sheehan.
Kenimer.
And Representative Bill Kenimer, if you'd like to stand and Representative Hunt, if you'd like to introduce yourselves, and you two as well, introduce yourselves.
Yeah, Representative Dave Hunt from here in Clackamas County. Welcome. Good to have you all here.
Bill Kenimer, State Representative for the Oregon City and Tandy Greater Area, District 39.
I'm Patrick Sheehan, House District 51.
Great. Well, let me just briefly talk about the logistics today of today's public hearing. As you came in, each of you were handed a sheet that has several questions, population statistics for the local legislative districts, and maps of your district. And we hope to hear from you on those questions that we pose on that sheet. One of those questions talks about communities of interest. The statute ORS 188.010 does not define what a community of interest is. And so it's up to us and you to help us define it. So we'd like to hear from you as to what your communities of interest are. If you've brought in written testimony, we ask that you hand deliver it to Jill over here. She's raising her hand. Erin, sorry. Where's Jill?
That's Lori.
Okay. Erin. Erin is the lady to give it to. She'll take care of it. If you'd like to submit it electronically, you can then, when I said Jill, I knew it wasn't right. I said, I know it's Erin. If you'd like to submit it electronically, let me give you the email address right now. You can do it after this hearing as well. oregon.redistricting@state.or.us. You can also submit it via the website, and that website is also on the handout that's been given to you. But again, for your convenience, www.leg.state.or.us/redistricting. And also, the scope of this hearing today is redistricting. We'd like to keep it within that scope. If you have other issues to address, a different venue would be more appropriate for that. Also, some other logistics. As you come forward, the stairs are on our left, your right. And if you need a ramp, that's on your left. And if you are unable to come up to the stage, then we will bring the microphone to you. We have a handful of people that have signed up to testify, and we appreciate you being here. We're going to Senator Olson as well. Well, we'd like to have you come up. When you come up, we'll have you introduce yourself, Senator. We have a handful of people that are here that have signed up to testify, and to keep things moving and flowing, we're going to give a time allotment of 3 minutes for each testimony. We have a fancy little signal here. Green light means you can go. When it starts flashing, that means you have a minute left to go. When it turns yellow, then you have 30 seconds. And, of course, when it turns red, a trap door will open. And and we'll take care of that there. But we'll also leave room for, I'm sure all the members will have questions for you. So, Senator Olson, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Thank you very much. My name is Senator Alan Olson. I am the Senator for Senate District 20. And it's a pleasure to be here and work on the redistricting.
Wonderful. Thank you. So for our first panel, we will have Representative Bill Kennemer come forward. Eugene Schoenheit, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that.
New York here.
And Ray Phelps, please.
Because the New York one. You can listen to the testimony. Did you sign your testimony?
Yeah.
You can leave whenever you want.
Yeah, that was anything.
Okay.
Representative.
Thank you. Co-chairs and members of the committee, for the record, I am Bill Kennemer, State Representative, District 39. And incidentally, I'd like to welcome you to District 39. District 39 is the suburban communities of Oregon City and can be in the surrounding areas of Beaver Creek, Molino, and Caras, and French Prairie. My district is approximately exactly 1,868 people larger than it should be. I would like to say that I think the Oregon City and Canby areas represent suburban communities, common areas of common interest, and the surrounding rural areas and semi-rural areas around them of Beaver Creek, Molino, and Caras in particular constitute similar communities of interest. And when we who live here in the area look at it, we see it in that context. The second part about this is I come to you as a former county commissioner. And I'll tell you, representing the third largest county in the state, and kind of frankly a county that some days is sort of regarded as the stepchild in the urban area, one of the things that was very detrimental in the last reapportionment was the movement from 14 legislative representatives to 18. And this was created by spokes, principally out of Multnomah County. This was very damaging, frankly, in the influence of this emerging county. As you know, the primary and the largest county has been Multnomah. Washington County has been the center of a great deal of activity, and now a lot of energy and direction is moving to Clackamas County, and we're seeing things happen, and I would encourage that we recognize the county-wide boundary. I think it's a much more effective way for the people of Clackamas County to be represented and to make the government there more effective and efficient. And I would add to that, one of the things that's been difficult is in having delegation meetings with people having split interests. They're not as well attended and not as frequent. Thank you very much for this opportunity to present my testimony. Do you take questions?
Well, we'll go through the panel, okay. And we'll ask questions.
Thank you.
Well, hello, I'm Eugene Schoenheit.
Would you please spell that for the record?
S-C-H-O-E-N-H-E-I-T. I live in House District 40, and I thank you for allowing me to testify. I've come here today to talk about a couple districts I think we could improve, or I should say lay out better, that would fit the needs of the community. I start out with House District 41. I have sent you maps as testimony. But one of the interesting things about House District 41 of community interest is in the southeast corner, they're putting in basically new sewer systems. Part of the requirements for the sewer systems is that people in this area annex to Milwaukee, which is, you know, basically what 41 is. So my recommendation in this particular area is to move, or should say have Milwaukee extend to the east to accommodate this area with the new sewers. Generally speaking, in the North Clackamas area, the school districts are the same, the water districts the same, and the sewer districts are the same. So it's like, you know, communities of interest. I would like to make a recommendation for District 41, 40, 51, and 48, where they all come together, and you can probably see this on your map. Boundaries of common interest should be adjusted by, and one, of course, District 41 should be moving east to accommodate the new sewer district, or existing sewer district into Milwaukee. District 48 should be moving towards the west, so that these two districts come together. And the reason for this is the third point here. District 51 needs to move to the south. And the reason is because the school districts in this particular area, water districts, they're not the same as in the central district of 51, and they're not the same, you know, as in Estacada. And I'm not trying to say bump Mr. Sheehan out of a job, but I may have done that by accident here. District 40 is surrounded by the Willamette River on the west, the Clackamas River on the south, Milwaukee city limits on the north, and we kind of like it that way, but being practical, since we need to gain more people in District 40, it should be moved to the east. And that would be moving into the more unincorporated areas of Clackamas, but it was the same type of area as would be commercial, R10 residential. It has the same school districts, same sewer districts. And I think that wraps me up.
Okay. Thank you kindly.
Hello. My name is Ray Phelps. I'm past president of the Wilsonville Chamber of Commerce. And I'm here representing the Chamber, an organization that represents 400 businesses in the South Metro region and employs approximately 12,000 people. Most of whom, by the way, 85 to 90% of them, do not live in the city of Wilsonville, which creates an anomaly for us with regard to planning and community of interest. And I've provided you with a map, not as a chamber handout for a puff piece, but to give you kind of, if you open it up, you'll see what I mean about location when I talk here in a minute. As you know, the population of Wilsonville has increased 39.5% since the last census. And we are projected to probably double that in the next 20 years. We are a very fast-growing community. And as a result, we believe that we are a unified community of interest, and we have a need for strong legislative presence. And our chamber believes that presence is best accomplished by one representative and one senator as our community continues its rapid growth, both not only with population, but with commercial and industrial development. The city of Wilsonville is currently in the 5th Congressional District, State Senate District 13, and State Representative District 26. I use those numbers merely as a point of reference. We recognize that Congressional District 5 is a 1.1 below the median number, and we would like to stay within the congressional district. We also know that the legislative districts are very out of proportion, significantly, 12, 13,000. Since we're a very fast-growing community, that's no surprise. The city of Wilsonville has two geographic boundaries that would appear to you possibly as good dividers, but in fact are just the opposite. 52% of our population lives east of I-5 between 205 and the Boone's Bridge. 29% of our population lives west of I-5 in that same general direction, north-south, and 19% of our population lives south of the Willamette River. In other words, we have three separate clusters of population. It's very important that we remain as a community of interest because of the difficulty and the challenge of servicing those three separate areas. Also, the growth for our community is going to take place in an area called Bilboa. There are 2,500 residential units and only 800 have been developed. Lastly, transportation is our most significant need because we share an awful lot of transportation issues with Tualatin and Sherwood. The I-599W connector that lasted 37 months, of which I served miserably on for 35 and a half of, wound up being a real challenge, but is definitely a necessary linkage for us, and I will stop.
Thank you. I have a first question, and that might be, this is something I've become aware of just, well, recently since being on this committee, and that is 85% of Oregon lives outside of Portland Metro. Portland Metro represents 15% and has...
Portland Metro what?
15% of Oregon's population is in Portland. I'm sorry, not Portland Metro. I meant City of Portland.
Oh.
Thank you. And so 85% lives outside of Portland City. It has three congressional districts that touch it, west side, east side, and then comes up through the south. I'm just looking at Congressional District 5 here, and it looks like it's very rural, sweeps through Wilsonville, and obviously up to very downtown urban Portland and clear out to the coast. I'm wondering if you could, any of you could address that and get your thoughts on that.
I probably could contribute. That was a result of litigation brought about after the 2001 census, and it was at the direction of the circuit court in Multnomah County. And the former representative there, what was her name?
Caroline Hooley.
Yeah. No, before her even, Freeze. Was asked by the judge, would you consider those three districts in the Multnomah County gerrymandering? And she said yes. And those districts still went forward, and nobody appealed it from there. There's no reason for that fifth district to go into Multnomah County.
Senator Starr.
Thank you. Mr. Phelps, thank you for your testimony. Appreciate hearing from you. Appreciate you representing the Wilsonville Chamber.
Thank you.
The question that I have is clearly Wilsonville, you know, what part of our goals is to keep communities together. You know, and Wilsonville is interesting in that it's split up. It has a river running through it. We've heard testimony from other parts of the country, other parts of the state, that rivers are dividers and rivers are uniters and rivers are this and rivers are that. But that's interesting. That's not my question. My question is, you know, as it relates to the communities of interest, communities that Wilsonville finds more in common with than others, would you say that Wilsonville, if you were going to link Wilsonville with other district or other communities, Tualatin, Durham, Sherwood, Newburgh, Canby, West Lynn, talk about, you know, as a community of interest, does it make more sense to link Wilsonville with Sherwood and Tualatin, or Wilsonville with Westland, or Wilsonville with Canby? Talk a little bit about the communities that surround Wilsonville.
Well, I tell you, that's why I brought the map.
It's helpful, yes.
Yes, and what it shows you and what we do is we share, first of all, two-thirds of Wilsonville is commercial industrial land. So a lot of the financial growth that's going to occur in this metro area is going to occur in that area, and specifically in 1,000 acres between Tualatin and the city of Wilsonville. That is a huge tract. In fact, it's the largest single tract available in that metropolitan area. Also, Sherwood has an awful lot of developable land that's locked up because it does not have access to Interstate 5, to the federal highways. That was the I-599W project I was speaking of a few minutes ago. Our need for transportation is north and northwest because we live and die on I-5. That highway intersects our city, and so for us it's more of a road of need. But when you start impacting our city from Tualatin and Sherwood, we've got to work together. And the chambers have, for the last 3 years, formed a coalition that has worked with the electeds, and now we're beginning to see some results of that. We've got the West High Light Rail Project connecting Beaverton to Wilsonville. We are now extending 124th from 99W to Day Road, which is right by the Coffee Creek Corrections location. And we're going to improve that whole 95 area, the Holiday Inn, if you will, area there at I-5 and Stafford, or Ellickson. And so, but it all is in concert because most of the funding for that and most of the territory of that is in Washington County, not Clackamas County. I have a business that locates on Ritter Road. I am inside the city of Wilsonville. I get my police services under contract with the city with Clackamas County Sheriff, but I am in Washington County. So as a result of that, we have a lot of funding needs that Washington County works with Wilsonville, Tualatin, and Sherwood to make that happen. It would be a very difficult situation if we didn't have that similarity and that unifying effort, and legislative is one of those unifying helpmates.
Just one follow-up, Mr. Chair. Currently, the district that Wilsonville is in, the Senate district at least, goes all the way down to Kaiser. Does it make much sense in your mind that the city of Wilsonville has much in common as a community of interest with the city of Kaiser?
Well, no. In relative terms, no, sir. But at the same time, there are probably several hundred people who live in Salem-Kaiser who work in Wilsonville, but I don't know that that's a linchpin of any kind. No, if I had to choose between Sherwood, Newburgh, and those places, as opposed to Kaiser, I would certainly encourage you to be Sherwood, Newburgh, because it's closer. And that traffic impact, I cannot understate it enough, or overstate it enough. Traffic is a huge problem in that emerging area if we're going to grow the economy, because jobs are going to be created in that community, in that part of the area, because that's where the open land is. That's where Metro put it. Those 1,000 acres are regionally significant industrial land. You're not going to get a mall. You're not going to get a strip mall or something like that. It is reserved, and those are the jobs. It's estimated it's over 2,500 jobs we've generated in just 300 acres of it that's already been master planned and ready to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Garrett.
Thank you. Mr. Phelps, your testimony is an interesting example, I think, of why we can't apply a single rule or even a few rules statewide, because we've heard a lot of testimony elsewhere about the importance of county lines. And as I listen to you, even though Wilsonville shares Clackamas County with West Lynn, shares a school district with West Lynn, you're saying, I hear you saying your communities of interest are to your west across the county line.
Yes. And part of our city is in Washington County, sir.
Right. And then, Representative Kenemer, if I can have a follow-up question. Would you say that you testified about the links between Oregon City and Canby? Oregon City is geographically closer to Gladstone and some communities to the north. Would you say that those ties are just as strong, less strong, more strong than Oregon City's ties to Canby?
I think that, the history was that they were somewhat separate entities. And the river, the Clackamas River, is a natural dividing line. So I think that's part of the reason. Historically, these were small suburban communities. It wasn't very long ago that Canby's population was about a third, 10 years ago or maybe 12 years ago. And Oregon City has nearly doubled it in the last decade. So that expansion is a new phenomenon, but I think their community of interest is historic. And
any other questions for this panel? All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you coming out on a Saturday.
Yeah, thanks for having us. All right, next up will be Representative Patrick Sheehan, Warren Kitchen, and Bryce Kennedy.
Also quoted in the paper that he cares about. Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee. For the record, I'd like to say the peach is a lovely color on you, Representative Lindsay. Also, my name is Patrick Sheehan. I represent House District 51, and I want to speak just very generally about some of the areas that I represent and areas that might not make sense and others that would make more sense to expand. One of going through campaigns, you walk door to door in all these neighborhoods, and the one area that I think doesn't make sense is in the northern part of the district. I actually have two precincts in Multnomah County, and that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me why I have so much in Clackamas County, and the area of around 82nd and Flavelle have that as well.
Is that where House District 48 dips down into? Are you talking about the, or are you talking on the east side, east,
yeah,
northeast?
Yeah, House District 48.
Okay.
There's also just in general, there's some areas like when people from Boring talk with me and they say, well, you know, you're my state rep, you represent Boring, right? And I have to ask them what their address is. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think if you represent a community, you should represent the whole thing. And so I'd love to see Boring brought into the district in its entirety. I don't think we should have to ask what side of the street they live on. Other than that, just in general, I would just love to see communities more wholly represented and not really pay attention to who's there now or you know, what we're trying to protect. I just want to see, just have a stable amount of communities in their entirety that we can represent, and I think we would do a better job of being able to understand where our people are and what they need represented based on their cities, townships, and cultural communities. So that's really the sum of my testimony. But really quick, do you deal with precincts at all? All right, I've got precinct 97 is really scattered due to an annexation, so I was hoping to clean that up, but I'll deal with that later then.
Yeah, county clerks do that. We work on, what's the working term? The congressional, I'll get back to you on the terms.
I'll call Sherry, she'll fix that.
Yeah,
county clerks do that.
Hello, my name is Warren Kitchen. I'm here, I'm just an average citizen that, you know, I tend to agree with Bill Kennemer that Canby, Oregon City, you know, after living there for years and years and years, you feel just a kindred spirit. And, you know, anyway, I'm a native Oregonian. I've resided in Oregon City with my wife, Kathy, and my children for over 18 years. I am submitting this testimony in the hope of correcting wrongs in our present districting and the resulting problems we now have. We live in House District 39, Senate District 20. I want to see the current state legislator deal with drawing district lines as outlined in ORS 2088.010. I do not want to see these important decisions made on a partisan level in the Secretary of State's office. Neither party should use district boundaries to their advantage. I don't like to see gerrymandering. The legislature should reform the present system to a more nonpartisan private commission that removes the partisan inequities we now have. It is only fair to every community that its district be based on the concept of communities of common interest. It is only logical that it be based on common shared values of each community and not be marginalized, being combined with another community of differing interests. The definition of community of common interest to me should be based on the community's school districts. To me, these come as close as possible to this definition. Though House District 39 and House District 51 are pretty good when it comes to areas of common interest, they do share some small overlapping areas on the east side. Other House districts that carve up fingers into another district or has fingers carved into its district is not fair to either district. I presently serve on the Oregon City Urban Renewal Budget Committee, and I value order and consistency in government and how it relates to the citizens' communities. I would like to thank the members of this committee for taking the time to listen to an old man and, you know, on a nice day like this. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. And Mr. Kennedy, we noted that you testified, I believe, yesterday. There's no rule against that, but if it is duplicative, we'd ask that you address.
I'm completely different.
Not be duplicative.
Thanks. Great. Thank you for having this hearing. Again, my name is Bryce Kennedy, and testimony today does differ from yesterday. You're well aware of the Oregon statute on redistricting. While factors to consider and problems to avoid are clear, there is little guidance on how to value each category. Certainly communities of common interest shouldn't be divided, and gerrymandering is specifically prohibited. Today I'd like to present a methodology which can be consistently applied across the state and hold true to the intent of the law. My family has owned property or lived in Clackamas, Washington, Multnomah, Yamhill, and Marion counties. The commercial properties rely heavily on transportation links. We work from home. Some of us travel to jobs. Our businesses are dependent on many parts of the economy: retail sales, agricultural production, some chemical distribution, high-tech development, healthcare delivery. My years in Newburgh and Dundee taught me many things, such as how significantly a transportation corridor can affect the communities of common interest. As far back as 40 years, my family has been divided over the bypass issue for that Herbert Hoover Highway. This corridor is top concern to the region's people, and today many of my family think of Newburgh to McMinnville and surrounding towns as their area. Considering the previous redistricting and listening to the comments yesterday about the judge's assessment that Southwest and Northwest Portland were connected to suburban areas through transportation links, I concluded that this thinking was inconsistently applied and perhaps inconsistently applied statewide. Newburgh to McMinnville only have their respective representatives and senators to voice their concerns over transportation. Portland and the Tri-County area, however, have Metro. In part, it was created to coordinate regional transportation, and therefore it does provide a voice and a system that other regions do not have. Therefore, my proposed methodology is to consider the relative weight of each guideline in a manner consistent with the perspective of the people to be represented and in a light of representation of the voice that people currently have. So applying this methodology, Newburgh through McMinnville would be united in one district, as those communities share exceedingly strong economic, agricultural, natural resource, and transportation interests and do not have anyone besides the legislators to represent them. Portland would be reunited with other Portlanders, and Beaverton, Tigard, Milwaukee, Happy Valley, Damascus, and Estacada would have more of an undiluted voice. These areas outside of Portland are already intertwined with Portland through their representation in Metro and would not lose anything if the redistricting guideline of transportation links was weighed less heavily here than in areas without such representation or integration. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Are there any questions for this panel? Senator Starr.
Thank you. And for Representative Sheehan, I think might be the appropriate question to aim this question at Happy Valley. Happy Valley is in a district, Senate District 24, House District 48, that has grown significantly and needs to shed a significant amount of population. What would you say about Happy Valley as it relates to communities of interest, as it relates to the communities that are around Happy Valley? Does it make sense to, you know, have Happy Valley connected to something in your particular House District? Does it make it sense to have Happy Valley connected to communities in Multnomah County? Just talk a little bit about Happy Valley specifically, because my sense is that that's the area of that particular district that has grown over the last 10 years.
Well, Happy Valley is sort of strange because you have an older area of Happy Valley being 20 years old and the brand new area of Happy Valley, and I think they're both fairly different. I think there's the area of Mount Scott, some of the Johnson Creek area that might be more appropriate for Happy Valley. Grouping that together, I think, makes some sense. You know, the district that I represent has some very, very rural communities that start far south, within Hogsback, Oregon City, all the way up through Eagle Creek and Estacada. And then you have sort of an inner suburban core, which represents a good portion of the population, which is the area that I live in, unincorporated North Clackamas. And then it reaches across a little bit into Happy Valley. I do have some of Happy Valley, not much, and then that quickly morphs into the Mount Scott area. And then as you go further north, then you get into those two Multnomah County precincts that, from what I see, just don't make any sense. It's very, very different. Because that part of it is just because it's right near the 82nd Avenue core, so it doesn't have a whole lot in common with either the rural side or the suburban side of Clackamas. So if that answers your question, sorry.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Sheehan, I'm glad you're here. Now you have a sense of
what I was doing when I missed the hearing I heard yesterday was pretty exciting. I wonder if you could comment. We heard yesterday and today some testimony from APANO, the Asia-Pacific American Network of Oregon, about a pretty well-defined, in their mind, community of interest along 82nd around their cultural traditions and so on. I wonder if you could comment on your experience with that.
Are you asking about the different ethnicities within areas and clusters? Well, this certainly exists. And what was the acronym used?
APANO. It's the Asia-Pacific American Network of Oregon. And they talk specifically around some of the cluster of similarly interested businesses and community centers and so on with reference to 82nd.
Possibly in that 82nd. I really don't see that as much within even the two precincts that I have along 82nd. There's certainly some areas in right around my neighborhood, right off of 132nd, that have a lot of families that where the extended families live in the same neighborhood. But as far as having a cultural center for a certain ethnicity, I haven't really seen that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Next up will be Jill Thorne, John Swanson, and Joelle Davis. And while they're coming up, we've heard a lot about gerrymandering, and I thought you'd be interested in knowing the origin of that. Clear back in the 1780s, there was Patrick Henry, who opposed the Constitution, and of course, James Madison, who was the primary author of the Constitution. Are you coming up? Okay, we'll bring the microphone to you. And anyway, James Madison, he obviously supported the Constitution, and there was an Eldridge Gerry, G-E-R-R-Y, who eventually became, the vice president under Madison, but also Massachusetts governor. He drew a funky-looking district, and a cartoonist added wings and claws and a beak. It looked like a salamander, and so they joined the words Jerry and Mander, and thus the term gerrymander entered our vernacular. And if you'd like to go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Jill Thorne. I live in West Lynn, have lived in West Lynn since 1976, and I'm here today to give you my thoughts on Clackamas County's communities of interest. Clackamas County is not an island. We are part of the metro area, though we are a very diverse area.
Ms. Thorne,
yes.
Would you be so kind to move to your right a little bit so the members here could see you as well? Thank you.
We are part of the metro area, though it is a very diverse area. Several cities are part of two different counties. Wilsonville and Lake Oswego come to mind. They are each in Washington and Multnomah counties as well. I guess what I'm trying to say is that county lines are blurred in the metro area. In fact, every few years, some legislator is proposing that the three counties become a mega county. We have districts like House District 38 that covers Lake Oswego in Clackamas and the unincorporated area of Dunthorpe in Multnomah. But the interests and issues for both of these are many times the same. House District 52 in the Sandy area, Mount Hood and Hood River County, share interests around Mount Hood. House District 26 in Wilsonville shares a common interest with Washington County in the industrial and development of the area. I live in House District 37. This district for the last 10 years has worked well. It includes West Lynn, Tualatin, and the Stafford Triangle. You may wonder what these areas have in common. Well, West Lynn and Tualatin are communities of people who live in one place and work in another. The school districts are very similar in size and philosophy. Both are communities over the years that have experienced extreme fast growth. But the big thing that ties the districts together is the future of the Stafford Triangle. Both cities agree that the triangle should not develop and have been more than 10 years involved in making sure this doesn't happen. part of the future rests of the Triangle rests on the actions of West Lynn and Tualatin. In closing, I would urge you to look at the things these districts share in common, not in which county they sit. As I said before, Clackamas County is not an island.
Thank you.
Co-chairman, members of the committee, thanks for having me. Let's do something thrilling on my Saturday afternoon. My name is John Swanson, Chief of Staff for Senator Chuck Thompson, and the Senator testified today in Gresham, right? And that was earlier today. He touched on a few points. Our number one concern is keeping the Mount Hood Economic Alliance together, keeping Hood River County with its economic interest of retaining all the Columbia Gorge cities from East Troutdale all the way to Hood River, because the gorge is they share a lot of the same features, just certain organizations, ambulance services, you name it. It's definitely a close-knit community up and down the gorge. We want to retain that. And he touched on why Hood River should remain in close conjunction with Clackamas. I want to talk a little bit more about this side. Representative Sheehan discussed the little finger we have up from the Clackamas Town Center into Portland. I know there are a lot of residents there. I just want to say, if we are going to tweak it, the Senator's number one concern is that we keep the Clackamas Town Center, because then his wife has a place to shop. So,
we heard that. Yeah. It's a good reason.
I've been told we have about 1.5% of our population since the last census has decreased in our district, and so I wanted to give some suggestions on two areas where we could expand. One is Happy Valley. I know Senator Starr asked a question regarding Happy Valley and its growth. Sunnyside Road has really developed itself as an area of economic interest, a lot of businesses tied together and the residents thereof. And if you look on the map of our district, it's just like a jigsaw puzzle on the north side of Sunnyside Road. If we could just take maybe the south side of the mountain and put that in the district, it might make a little more sense, and that's a place you can justify expanding it. Also, if you head south, more towards rural Oregon City, there's actually a surprising amount of homes there, and we could go that direction too. Thank you.
Thank you. And before we go on, I notice that Ms. Thorne is standing. I don't want to just have you standing there for 9 minutes. So why don't we, if there's any questions for her, we'll ask them now. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We might have you come up if we do, but okay. We'll bring the microphone to you. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Joelle Davis. I am a resident of House District 37, Senate District 19. I currently serve as a city councilor for the city of Tualatin, and I'm here to talk primarily about House District 37. I got to know a lot of really terrific residents through the course of the primary in last year's District 37 race, and really enjoyed meeting a lot of folks in West Lynn. However, my time spent with folks really helped identify some of the places where we lack really strong linkages, I believe, with West Lynn. And in particular, I believe that the district fails to meet the test of community interest in a number of different ways. We don't have a linkage via our school districts. We are linked with Tigard in that way. In Tualatin, we do not have a public transportation linkage to West Lynn. We do not have a strong linkage through Common County. The vast majority of Tualatin is in Washington County, and most of our associations in terms of the work that our council does is in relationship to the Washington County side of the metro. And we also do not have a linkage via the water or sewer districts. And we do not have a strong economic linkage in terms of people going to work in West Lynn from Tualatin or people shopping in that direction. It tends to be more west side linked. I feel that we have stronger linkages in communities of interest with our west side neighbors, in particular Tigard, Durham, River Grove, like Oswego and parts of Sherwood as well. We share school districts, water sewer districts, library districts. Our transportation links are far stronger in that area, particularly public transportation through both TriMet and the West, and soon to be the MAX, which will be coming down Highway 99 shortly. We share the linkage of Highway 99 and as well as I-5 and Boone's Ferry Road, which involves three major bridges, and strong economic ties as well. Our council assignments are almost all West Side based, from our 911 services, our public television services, the Washington County Community Commission on Children and Families, the community action through Washington County is all through all Tualatin works on, our West Side Economic Alliance, chamber partnerships, and metro districts. And the Stafford issue that was raised by Ms. Thorne, I believe, is significant. But I believe that the majority of those issues are dealt with through the partnerships that we have between our councils in Wilsonville, in West Lynn, and Tualatin. And I don't believe that making changes to the House district is going to prevent those people from continuing to work to maintain the Stafford area as not heavily developed. So thank you.
Thank you. And before questions, we've been joined by Representative Julie Parrish. If we've all introduced ourselves, would you just take a quick second and introduce yourself to the audience?
Thank you. I am Julie Parrish. I am the state representative from House District 37, West Lynn, Tualatin, River Grove, King City, a little bit of Wilsonville. I think I'm missing anybody. Durham. So.
Thank you. Are any questions? Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lindsey. Joelle, you mentioned something about the school districts, and I missed the details, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the school districts. You said Tualatin is aligned with
Tigard. It's the Tigard-Tualatin School District. We have a small portion of Tualatin that is in Clackamas County, and there's a small, really tiny group of folks that are looped into the Westlands Wilsonville School District on that far east side of town, but it's really tiny. One thing that I would request from the committee when you're making these border changes is that Tualatin stays whole. I don't want to lose our Clackamas residents. I would much prefer for the city to stay whole, if that's possible at all. You know, we really feel that we represent everybody that way.
Thank you. And for the record, that was Joelle Davis speaking. And I'd just like to ask everybody, when you're responding to a question, just state your name really quickly for the record. Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Parrish.
Thank you. Do you know much about what the work that's going on right now with the South Metro business, essentially looking at Westland, Tualatin, Westland, Tualatin, Sherwood, Wilsonville is sort of kind of having wagons hitch as an economic block in the South Metro area? Are you kind of aware of what the business community is doing right now and has been doing for a while to pull together and kind of associate themselves for the purpose of development and livable cities and what that looks like?
I think depending on the project that you're looking at, the West Side Economic Alliance and the South Metro, Tualatin tends to get involved depending on, you know, who's working different things. Somebody else spoke earlier about we have a really large amount of developable industrial land in the metro, and it's the highest contiguous amount that's currently going to be coming into UGB soon. There's going to be a tremendous amount of development activity that's going to be happening in that area, and the transportation issues that were raised by the gentleman earlier are significant and are definitely going to need to be addressed. And I believe that both of those economic alliances are going to be really strong. And seeing that happens.
Go ahead.
Follow up. While West Lynn, I guess, doesn't have a road that ties to that, you know, those industrial areas that you're speaking about, I think there's a very strong interest with the business infrastructure in West Lynn, the Chamber of Commerce and whatnot, in how they can be involved in that process and what that looks like for fact that, you know, there isn't industrial land to speak of in West Lynn, the livable city notion that if that development's happening, that people in West Lynn actually would work and live there. You've got a lot of folks in West Lynn who are employed by Legacy, which is Tualatin's largest mm-hmm. employer. So I think I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are on why severing those two communities would make sense at a time when they're potentially looking to further hitch their wagons and grow together.
You know, I think it's going to depend a lot on the type of industry that comes into those areas and the parts of the metro that it's going to draw employees from. I think we're probably going to get folks from all over the place that are going to come to work there, particularly if we're successful in recruiting the type of higher tech and high value economic entities to come into that area that we'd like to see. And I believe that's going to draw people from all over the metro. And I believe that's why the economic and the transportation solutions that have to happen for this area to grow are so, so vital. Because if we do not have good transportation solutions for this key piece of massive piece of industrial developable land, we are not going to be able to recruit the level of company that we, the people that we need to see come into this area and make it successful.
Thank you. All right, thank you. And that was Joelle, and thank you, Mr. Swanson. Next up, we will have Representatives Julie Parrish, Mike Koloff, and David Barra, please. They're coming up. We're having the 3-minute thing, just so you know.
Okay, I'll be in that quick. Hi, how are you? Okay, thank you. For the record, I'm Julie Parrish. I am live in West Lynn, Oregon. I'm also the currently serving as a state representative for House District 37, which represents the communities of West Lynn, Tualatin, Stafford, Durham, King City, Wilsonville, and the River Grove neighborhood in Lake Oswego. As both a mother and a consumer, I believe that our communities should be ones in which we can live, work, shop, and play within proximity to our homes. In the West Lynn, Wilsonville, Tualatin communities, our residents have strong connection to local businesses and a desire to be engaged in community activities. The process of redistricting is a critical task the legislature must accomplish in a fair and balanced manner. Given the current economic conditions of Oregon, keeping together communities that embrace cooperation will be paramount to Oregon's future. My maternal grandparents were what my grandmother used to call pioneer stock, so I guess that makes me pioneer stock as well. My mom's family was here from before statehood, and they were active in settling the state. They were scientists, farmers, and bankers, and more importantly, they were members of communities that worked together to drive Oregon to prosperity. They were bootstrappers. With their neighbors, they worked together to solve the problems of their day, and under that spirited leadership of Oregon's founding families, our state thrived. Early Oregonians understood the importance of communities that hitched their wagons together to leverage economic success. So when I take that historical lens and I apply it to today in Oregon, what's clear to me is that we're in a time in Oregon's history when, once again, we have to bootstrap our state. As lawmakers, we're faced every day with the cold reality that Oregonians are out of work, losing their homes, and Oregon's children are losing ground in education, health, and security. As those tasked with redrawing district lines, I think one of the most critical consideration sets we should bring to this process is that we take extreme care in inadvertently unhitching wagons that were hitched together through the previous redistricting process or by the naturally occurring relationship building process happening across the state. The best example from my House district is where communities in South Metro area have leveraged cooperative relationships and are engaging in long-range planning that will impact the region for years to come. The business communities and governments of West Lynn, Tualatin, Wilsonville, and Sherwood have spent nearly 2 decades building economic and cooperative relationships. Current projects in the work include the development of the South Metro Business Alliance, which is linking chambers of commerce and business together, common transportation projects to increase connectivity and freight transportation, and earnest planning around how those four communities balance infrastructure and economic issues with future livability in mind. There are things that I know we're giving consideration to in this process, some of which includes things like shared roads, political boundaries, and school districts. Having just come through my first campaign season, it's clear to me those considerations weren't as considered as they should have been in the last redistricting, because even long-standing members of the communities I serve don't know their wagons are hitched together with their neighbors. And a good example of this was when we had school boards come to visit in Salem in February. I invited the school boards from all three districts that I represent. One of the school board members in Lake Oswego emailed me back with consideration for the offer, since Lake Oswego and Westland are neighbors. She let me know that Lake Oswego has a good working relationship with their representative, Co-Chair Garrett, and I had to email her back to let her know that I represent Lake Oswego too. That the River Grove School had been carved out in the last process with a few precincts in Lake Oswego. She was genuinely surprised and embarrassed at the time and worried that she'd offended me. I wasn't offended, of course, but I look at how the little carve-outs of my district, a few precincts in Lake Oswego, a little snippet of King City, and a few addresses in Wilsonville, and I have to wonder how well people are served if their cities get sliced and diced in the process. The other consideration we should give is inadvertently hitching our wagons to cities where we don't have a desire to be hitched. In this week's Westland Tidings, they ran an article about yet another contentious debate heating up between Lake Oswego and Westland over a water treatment facility. These cities are also at odds over the streetcar growth in Stafford and the relationship between the Lake Oswego Tigard Water District and what that means for consumption as it relates to Westland's interests. The school districts rarely see eye to eye as it relates to simple things like inter-district transfers and complicated things like rethinking a school district in one. Am I sorry, I'm out of time? I'll just wrap it up. So as you plan for communities, I'm going to implore that you put cities back together that were carved up 10 years ago and seek input from other elected officials and city and school boards about which communities can work together and which ones have pitted animosity towards each other. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Bonamici, co-chairs Garrett and Lindsay, and committee members and visiting legislative members, on behalf of the City of Wilsonville, I'm Mike Koloff, city attorney. The City of Wilsonville has grown from 13,991 in 2000 to 19,509 in 2010, a 39.4% increase. The city population is located in House Districts 26 and 39 and in Senate Districts 13 and 20. A map is attached illustrating that division to my written comments. The City of Wilsonville is a unified community of interest. Also attached to my comments is a fact sheet in direct response to the question information of the committee guide, which clearly illustrates how the community as a whole has come together to support its schools, its transportation infrastructure, its natural resources, and its residents and businesses. I would commend to you a close reading of our information. Growth does present both challenges and opportunities for Wilsonville, and effective representative voice is needed in both our state and federal governments. Further division of that representation does not support the City of Wilsonville's community of interest. For example, a simple view might be that I-5 forms a geographic barrier. But with three interchanges and the Beckman Overpass, they operate to connect east, west, north, and south areas of Wilsonville. By locating our strong industrial base closer to I-5 than our residents, we have not only provided for ease of access for freight and product movement, but we protect our residential areas from heavy freight movement. I-5 at Boone's Bridge has almost equal vehicular trips to the Columbia River crossing and a greater percentage of truck movement than across the Columbia River crossing, according to ODOT trip counts. An effective unified population has a community of interest in preserving and maintaining of I-5 and in aid of the states and regional interests in I-5. The underpass of Wilsonville Road at I-5's 283 interchange is the community's primary and residential and commercial east-west thoroughfare connecting southeast and southwest Wilsonville. Wilsonville developments and taxpayers have and are directly funding over $15 million of Wilsonville's own dollars to ensure an efficient, safe passageway for motor vehicles, trucks, cyclists, and pedestrians to overcome barriers that may have otherwise been presented by simply building larger interchanges. A small portion of that funding will support 1,000 of Wilsonville's high school and grade school children on both sides of I-5 who are currently engaged in making this underpass an inviting scenic passageway for pedestrians and cyclists to traverse east to west and west to east. This project helps support the West Lynn Wilsonville School District Art Program financially at a crucial time and will feature our natural heritage and wildlife images in the stamped concrete of the raised pedestrian and bicycle passageway, ceramic wall scenes of painted wildlife and vegetation, and continuation of this design theme in the protective safety railings. Clearly, what one might see as a barrier, our community views as an opportunity for unification of our community interest in transportation connectivity that supports quality of life. The fact sheet provides several other examples of the result of our unified community interests, such as a world-class water treatment plant that will aid not only Wilsonville, but other cities as well. Regional parks and open spaces such as Foundant Memorial Park and Graham's Oak Open Space, support of and participation in West Commuter Rail linking Beaverton, Tigard, Tualatin, and Wilsonville employment centers, development of our own bus service SMART linking Wilsonville internally, as well as with Portland, Oregon City, and Salem, partnerships with the West Lynn School District, as well as planned community and the creation of over 15,000 jobs. We simply ask that in making your decision, you keep Wilsonville a community of interest as a whole and that you provide timely opportunity for our City Council to comment on any redistricting proposal that you make. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee, and I can answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. I might note, both of you, it looks like you have written testimony. We'd ask that if you'd like to, you can submit that electronically. We've received yours. We've got that, and Representative Parrish, just like make note of that. And I might also note that if you are, and this is for everybody generally, if you are submitting written testimony, we'll read that. We'd prefer that you maybe summarize it instead of just reading it word for word, because we'll read that and kind of provide a summary. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Dave Barra. Thank you, members of the committee, for having me here today, or allowing me to come here today. I am a Lake Oswego resident. I've lived in Oregon since 1958, and almost all of that time has been in Lake Oswego, or at least always on the west side. Before I get to my written part, I do want to state something I didn't put here, in that I do believe that counties are communities of interest, and there have been people saying that they're not. If they were not communities of interest, local governments, the county governments, would not have policies to bring in certain types of industry. They would not encourage creative 30-somethings. So by their very policies, they are indicating that they want certain types of communities developed within them. As I said, I was drawn to redistricting, as Representative Parrish brought out, in that in my community, River Grove is not in the district that Representative Garrett represents, even though he lives basically. I would say if anybody asked you about River Grove, they would say that is part of Lake Oswego. And further, I learned that the area around Twilliger Curves and Burlingame was part of the district. Now, growing up in this area and driving the roads many, many times, I can instinctively tell you what communities of common interest are, because when you cross certain roads, you know you're in a different area. And in all the years I've grown up, neither Dunthorpe nor the area of Burlingame was considered a common interest where we as kids would go to hang out or do anything like that. So when I looked at this situation, I tried to apply my numbers side of me to this project, because numbers are not biased. They are simply numbers, and we know that we need to have 63,000 people in an area that shares common interest. So I use that, and with the scientific method, saying, well, what are the parameters? Well, the strongest parameter, obviously, and the one we must adhere to, is the 63,000 population. Now, my exercise here is to actually provide you with a finished district as I view it based on commonality. Beyond the population, I said the priority should be grouping communities of common interest using the geographic borders, school districts, cities, counties, shared transportation corridors, all the things that ORS 188 says. So I started off, I simply looked to see how many districts are in in each county if you just divide the number in the gross county, because under my belief that counties are community interest. And, you know, it shows that if you have a full districts in Multnomah County, there's only 33,000 people left over. In Clackamas County, we're almost up to 6. We could use 7,000 people and make a full full house districts. To me, that told me I didn't really need to have Metro, the Southwest area, in Lake Oswego. And I could look at it by the guidelines of the Clackamas County. So basically, I drew a district that came out of the Willamette River, about a half, quarter mile north of Lake Oswego on Highway 43. That's where the district, the county lines are. Goes straight west to Mountain Park. And if you look at a map, which I provided, you'll see that that does correspond to the city limits of Lake Oswego and its school district. When you get to Mountain Park, Precinct 1400 is in Mountain Park, is in Multnomah County. Their children go to school in Lake Oswego, and they vote for Lake Oswego. So at that point, that...
Okay. Good wrap-up. Thank you.
Okay. That would override the... let me just stop, finish the map, and I'll be done. That would override the county line. Get to essentially I-5. You head south because I-5 pretty well... It, not exactly, but very closely, divides Tualatin for Lake Oswego. You get to the Tualatin River, and you head east to where it comes out with the Willamette and incorporates the towns of West Lynn, its Willamette District, River Grove, Lake Oswego, and their 62,000 people. And those are communities of common interest.
Thank you. I appreciate you submitting this map. This is very helpful visually as you've described it. Representative Parrish, it looks like you only have to gain about 100 people in just trying to summarize your testimony, since there's not a big change there. Are you suggesting that you keep your district as it is, as best as possible?
Well, you know, I think I am, and the argument around school districts, whether, you know, Tiger to Tualatin or half a school district, a plan to put, say, West Lynn and Lake Oswego together would cut West Lynn and Wilsonville schools off in half. When you look at what's happening with shared bonds and construction, and we've got two new schools being built in that school district, one on the Westland side and one on the Wilsonville side, where taxpayers have come together and hitched together to build $50+ million in new infrastructure. You know, while school districts, I think, is an important consideration, and certainly severing off one school in one district like River Grove and not having that be connected to the rest, I think is wrong. But when you're talking about two cities who join their school districts together, it becomes a little bit different conversation, and maybe not the only set of consideration around putting people back together. You know, obviously the city of Tiger having half of the school district with the city of Tualatin, I mean, you're in that same boat with Westland and Wilsonville. That suddenly starts getting into, are we going to start redrawing school districts? And I don't think anybody wants to have that conversation. But I think if majority of the schools in one city or another should stick together. I mean, I really do believe River Grove needs to be tied back into the Lake Oswego district. I think they just kind of are out there hanging, quite frankly. But is that a call to put Lake Oswego and West Lynn together? I don't know, because then you, at that point, you lose half of the school district interest commonality with Wilsonville. So using school districts as a framework, I mean, I think you have to look at them in the context of the city in which they're in. And yes, they might share boundaries with another city, but to just chop out one school out of a school district, I think, is a little bit unconscionable, because they really do get left hanging. And when I've got a school board member who didn't even realize that I represent their school district, I think that's a problem. And that's been for 10 years. So, you know, and these little windows of, you know, a couple precincts in King City, I think the argument about keeping schools keeping cities whole, this body really needs to look at that and look at what these cities are doing right now to work together. I mean, once upon a time in our history, Oregon City and West Lynn, you know, had that community of interest. They had that bridge. They had industry together. They had transportation together. Well, January, I'm standing out in the rain with 1,000 people, and we shut down the Oregon City Bridge while it's under remodel. Blue Heron Paper, 175 employees, just went out of business. arguably, our past isn't always our future. And so if you look at where people's futures are and they're working together to tie things together, that might not be based on school districts, but I think keeping cities whole, and if they happen to share a school district with their neighborhood, that should be, or the next neighbor over, Tiger, Tualatin, Westland, Wilsonville, certainly give that consideration, but don't chop little schools out of their entire district and do that piece.
Thanks. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Next up is David Berg. Dana or Dela Helms? And Larry Harvey.
Thank you to the committee for this opportunity to testify today. My name is David Berg. I am a resident, a 20-year resident of the city of Lake Oswego. I also have a few of those years in executive management service with the state of Oregon, so I have some empathy for what you're doing today. Redistricting is an interest to me because of the challenges faced by our community and several of the surrounding communities in the Tigard-Tualatin-Lake Oswego Triangle. These three communities in Westland not only have common interests, but also different challenges. I believe strongly that each of these communities must address their specific challenges while also coordinating with the surrounding communities to address regional issues. All of these communities are in House Districts 37, 38, and SB 19. Upon reviewing the existing House District 38 district during the last election, I found that the Burlingame area of Multnomah County was in HD 38, while Westland was in HD 37 with Tualatin. This is not the most practical alignment to ensure that the interests of each community are efficiently and effectively served by our legislative representatives. My primary interest is obviously in HD 38, and I'll address that today. I reside there, but I do believe there are also strong commonalities that would support a realignment of both HD 38 and HD 37. The northern boundary of HD 38 includes Burlingame, which has little or no common interest with the Triangle Cities or West Lynn. And I will say that, as you well know, the requirements of ORS 188.010. I'd like to just address some of the areas that are of, if you will, confusion. In that those criteria, and one being the communities of common interest, the other being transportation links. I think these last two elements of the criteria are the most important in the future, and I'll express why. The last two criteria are ever more important as the region has grown and massive investments will be taking place at the community level. I'm actively involved in the community with several other business owners and professionals. I also sit on the budget committee for the city of Lake Oswego, and I am president of my homeowners association. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to propose that HD 38 and 37, there are five factors that would argue for realignment. Number one, state highways or core transportation links. Number two, these communities, these areas, have shared utility investments in core infrastructure and co-location of facilities. Number three, there are common natural disaster hazards with geographic and topographic boundaries which require EMS coordination. There are integrated waterway and recreational and environmental interests. And last but not least, transportation and major planned developments which impact growth and livability. So in my proposal, which you'll see, I'm arguing that a combination of Lake Oswego and West Lynn for House District 38 would meet the requirements for the criteria. And I've submitted written testimony, and it's in electronic form that you can take a look at earlier, later.
Thank you, chairs and members of the redistricting committee for the opportunity to voice my thoughts on this decision. My name is Dena Helms, and I live in House District 48 and Senate District 24, but with my close contact with the North Clackamas schools, I have experience in the area and have grown up in the area. And matter of fact, North Clackamas has to interact with eight different legislators at this point, four in the House and four in the Senate. For all but a few years, I've lived in Clackamas County since 1970. While geographic boundaries sometimes make sense, such as the Willamette River in the metro area or North Clackamas that's boundaried by both the Willamette and the Clackamas River, it seems to me that citizens are better represented by communities of interest. Clackamas County has grown in many different ways since years past, when much of it was truly rural in nature. And while we certainly still have communities that are rural, it's clear that parts of Clackamas County now heavily identify with suburban-urban interests, including those still unincorporated areas of North Clackamas. Sometimes these cities and areas have more in common with other areas that may cross county lines, for example, Milwaukee and Southeast Portland. Damascus and Estacada have much more in common with House District 52 than with Clackamas, Happy Valley, and Oregon City. North Clackamas is Oregon's fifth largest school district, and I think it is a fairly distinct community of interest from being connected to the metro area with Green Light Rail and soon Milwaukee's Orange Line, recognized member of the Metro Region's area of Art and Culture Council, and it contains one of the state's largest chamber of commerce organizations as well. And this is an area that has seen considerable growth. Within its boundaries, there are growing and innovative employers there, especially right along 205 in that Clackamas unincorporated area. You have Oregon Ironworks, Miles Fiberglass, Kaiser, Providence, two precision cast part locations now, Dave's Killer Bread, which is great, Fred Meyer, and definitely some other areas there as well, Clackamas Town Center, OIT, Phoenix University, and of course lots of small businesses, including my husband's. So with a large portion of unincorporated Clackamas County and no central city at its core, North Clackamas District really remains the primary community connector in that area, with strong and engaging relationships with all kinds of constituencies that you would see across the area. And so I just appreciate your time and consideration.
Thank you. Mr. Harvey.
Thank you, Representative Lindsay, members of the committee. I appreciate your commitment to your communities and your service to be here today on this exciting afternoon here in Clackamas County, Representative Hunt. You have heard quite a bit of information today about community of interest, and you certainly don't need to be reminded of exactly how you need to go about making this decision.
Mr. Harvey, would you just state your name for the record?
I'm sorry. My friend, who cares who my friend is? My name is Larry Harvey. I am a businessman based out of Tualatin, and I'm here today on behalf of the South Metro Business Alliance. So I want to point out to you that the information that you received from Ray Phelps was very accurate in describing communities of interest, and it's true. The chambers in the South Metro area had been working together for quite some time. 4 years ago, probably wouldn't have mattered how you redistricted because they probably didn't even interact. Now they are very closely aligned, and they're very closely involved in some very significant issues. And it is also quite true that while both Governors Kitzhaber and Kulongoski, as well as Metro and the Clackamas County, as well as Washington County, have indicated a large portion, 1,000 acres, in the South Metro area for future development, for jobs. As a matter of fact, as Mr. Koloff will tell you, both the City of Wilsonville and the City of Tualatin are jointly working on that planning. There are some number of issues that need to be worked out, but they would all agree that clearly transportation is probably the number one priority. How that will get resolved is going to be of great interest to everyone in the Tualatin, Westland, Wilsonville, Sherwood area. Those folks are working together because they are communities of interest together. That is why they've come together and coalesced. That is why they continue to bring issues to their local elected officials as well as you folks. So I'm simply here to underscore much of the testimony that you've already heard today from Mr. Phelps and Mr. Koloff. I do want to thank you for that consideration. We rely upon you folks to make sound decisions and good choices with regard to communities of mutual interest. That's what keeps everyone from Wilsonville and Westland working together between the two counties. It is a difficult area because there are multiple counties and multiple layers of governments trying to work together there. Sometimes they trip over each other, but nevertheless, we think they operate in everyone's best interest, so therefore we're trying to cooperate with them and you. So I appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Parrish.
Thank you. My question is for Mr. Barrett. I've got a little bit of concern with your testimony, and I'm going to ask you to help me understand. If you were to put Westland and Westland and Lake Oswego together,
and we're calling them a community of interest. I've got a clip here, and I will make copies for the committee because my copy machine at home wasn't working today. Clip here from the Westland Tidings where signs are starting to pop up in my neighborhood that say, "Stop Oswego Water Plant Expansion in Westland. Oswego, a good neighbor, does not condemn covenants." I'm a little concerned when people in my city are starting to put up signs against the city of Lake Oswego, how we would marry together communities that historically seem to have problems over transportation. Do we build a streetcar or not? And then, so then, or water, or Stafford, and all of those things. So the question I have is, do you feel that putting those folks together kind of in this hitched manner will actually improve those relationships?
No, not at all. In fact, if you look at it, those communities share Highway 43 as a major transportation link. The water system that you're talking about has property in Westland. It goes through a major area all the way to Lake Oswego and will supply to Tigard. It is also in a major earthquake hazard area, so coordination of EMS facilities between those two areas is very important. Actually, Lake Oswego provides LOCOM for Westland. So what I would argue is, yes, some of these areas are controversial, but there is commingling. You know, there is common transport between the communities to shop between each other and everything. There are demographic and psychographic profiles that are very similar. So I would argue, no, I'd say that what you're pointing to is one area of controversy and claiming that it would be, you know, across the, you know, across the board, and I disagree with that.
Can I follow up? I guess it's not. I guess when I get my paper, and I've taken the Westland Tidings since the day we moved into Westland, it seems like it's not just one area of controversy, and that's what has me kind of concerned. Because at this point, I know our city council is talking about the streetcar. I know they're talking about, you know, development into Stafford. I know there's some issues there that are going on right now. And I guess it's more of a theoretical, a hypothetical. I mean, I know that Lake Oswego and Tigard have kind of got some wagons hitched in terms of being a shared water district. I guess my concern would be is, and I'm not maybe phrasing this right, if you've got communities that have come together and are working well together, does it make sense in your mind, so where you've got businesses in Westland wanting to work with businesses in Tualatin, and they also have shared road, because I can't get to Tigard from West Lynn. I drive Borland and go into Tualatin and shop all the time. If you've got communities that are working well together now, does it really make sense to you in your mind to hitch communities that aren't working together well when the purpose
I disagree with the basic premise that West Lynn and Lake Oswego
Mr. Berg,
don't
would you state your name when you respond to the question?
Yes, David Berg. I disagree with the basic premise that you're bringing up, which is West Lynn and Lake Oswego do not work well together. In fact, I've lived in that community, have friends in both communities, and they've worked well together for the 20 years that I've been there. There is one controversy, but, you know, in the reality is there are a lot of shared benefits. You have integrated waterways. You have EMS coordination that needs to be done. You have major facility coordination. And, you know, you mentioned the streetcar. There's a massive amount of investment between those two communities that's coming in the next 10 years. I disagree. I think, if anything, you would want one representative to represent both of those communities. And when you do have controversies, that representative can be a mediator.
Thank you. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Helms, I wonder if you could help me understand some of the interaction. I'm not as familiar with this part of the community as I would like to be. We've obviously heard a lot about school districts being a community of interest and how they might be one of the factors we look at. Can you talk about how the Oregon City and Gladstone school districts interact, and are they easily understood, or how do they fit together?
Well, yeah, even though I didn't, I don't currently live in that area. I actually grew up in unincorporated Clackamas County on Aldercrest Road, and I think even that part we considered Gladstone a neighborhood, and to a large degree, Oregon City. But, you know, and actually Representative Hunt probably can speak to this better, but, you know, I think they definitely have a lot of areas of commonality that they would consider an interest in beyond a school district as well, just their transportation needs, business needs, those sorts.
Thank you.
And for the record, that was Dina Hallams.
Yes, I apologize.
All right, thank you. Senator Starr.
Thank you. Mr. Harvey, just real quickly, your testimony, I was on behalf of which organization?
Representative Lindsay, Senator Starr, Larry Harvey, on behalf of South Metro Business Alliance.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. So, and basically, your testimony, was it am I listening and hearing correctly that Tualatin and Wilsonville ought to be connected together? Is that the testimony that I'm hearing from you? Or can you tell me who your organization kind of... What
sure.
area of South Metro is
yes,
is
Senator Starr. Again, Larry Harvey. The emphasis of my testimony was to underscore the efforts that these four communities in general have undergone to try to work together by finding common interests. Those common interests are what keep them together. The South Metro Business Alliance is a conglomerate of business organizations from West Lynn, Tualatin, Wilsonville, Sherwood, such as the car dealerships, such as Cisco Foods, such as a variety of different organizations such as that. We meet regularly with both the city elected officials in all three cities, as well as Clackamas County, Washington County, and even Metro.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Harvey, the four communities that you referenced are currently in separate legislative districts.
Yes, that's true. According to your own statistics here, as you can tell, first of all, District 37 doesn't need to gain that much. It's interesting that the district has remained so static over the last 10 years. District 38, however, is in need of about 5,000 people. Somehow, you and your infinite wisdom get to figure out exactly how the populations shift. My interest and my statement suggests to you that lopping off part of West Lynn, for example, with all due respect, to go with another part of whether it's River Grove or Lake Oswego, may not serve the entire community very well. Sherwood, Wilsonville, Tualatin are all working together on both Basalt Creek as well as the Tonkin Employment Area, lopping off parts of them because they don't seem to fit because part of them are in Clackamas County or Washington County, does not serve the area well as a whole because they all have a vested interest in that industrial development that's been designated by state law.
And just one follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Currently, in the current Senate district that Sherwood and Wilsonville, the majority of Wilsonville are located in, are also located in a Senate district that incorporates Kaiser. Does that make any sense as it relates to a community of interest, or do those communities have more an interest with, say, the towns that you referenced to the north and the east?
I think at the current population and development in the area, it would be easy to say that it doesn't. Donald and Aurora is growing, and that may very well serve well to be more closely associated with Kaiser. But too far south of Charbonneau, the Charbonneau district, I'm personally fail to see the interests between those two particular areas, particularly since Wilsonville is putting most of their effort into north of the Willamette River and west of Interstate 5.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following up on Senator Starr's comment, because it sounds like, Mr. Harvey, your testimony is, in an ideal world, you'd love to have all four of those communities in one district. Obviously, the population doesn't quite fit because there's probably enough population for two or maybe a little more than two. So knowing that's true, if you were to start drawing lines somewhere, do you think it's more important to follow county lines, more important to follow city lines? I mean, knowing lines have to be drawn within that area somewhere, which are the lines that you think are more important to stick with to maintain community of interest?
Representing Lindsay, this is Larry Harvey again. I think that as we begin to look at where there begins to be some differences in the growing communities, again, the most difficult area, as you well know, I'm not telling you anything rocket science here, is the 5,600 or so that you need to pick up in District 38. If we can put all those together in one Senate district and cut it down the middle, then I guess that would be okay, but that's not necessarily a very scientific or rational way to do it. I personally question why River Grove would have anything to do with Tualatin. I think River Grove's a great area, and I quite often drive through there on my way to, by the way, Merrillhurst University, where I'm still finishing some school. So it seems like River Grove, Lake Oswego, Merrillhurst, and those areas have more in common than West Lynn, Tualatin, and Sherwood and Wilsonville areas. If those four could be easily divided into two separate house districts, I think that would make sense because they are growing areas. They will continue to grow because of industrial planning that's going on there that hopefully will take place someday, and the opportunity for jobs. So those folks won't have to leave the area to go somewhere else to work. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but I hope it clarifies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could follow up and just push it one step further.
Sure.
I mean, I think you've acknowledged there's got to be some drawing of lines in there somewhere just because there's so much population and growing in those areas. Do you think it's, I guess, two of the four cities in your area are divided between two different counties?
Yes.
I mean, knowing what you know about those communities, is it better to maintain, as we've heard some testify, those cities, which I think are Wilsonville as a whole, Tualatin as a whole, or is it better to divide them at the point at which they go into a different county and follow those county lines, knowing what you know about those communities?
Representative Hanna, I guess if I had to make that tough decision, it would probably seem like, in my situation, I know that the majority of Tualatin is in Washington County, and there's just a small portion over there that's a part of Clackamas County. It is an interesting dynamic. If we had to say they're all alike, then obviously the folks of Tualatin are more like the folks of Tualatin than they are like the folks over in Happy Valley of a different county. So if the determination is that we should draw lines based upon county boundaries, then I think that speaks to the question of which county, because the majority of one city and the majority of the other city reside in specific counties holistically. Interestingly enough, though, when it comes to that, evidently Washington County doesn't agree because they're working earnestly with the city of Wilsonville to develop Salt Creek, which is, for all intents and purposes, a Clackamas County city. So at least that means they can get along.
So the members know we'd like to move on, and this panel's had plenty to say, and we appreciate it. We'd like to make sure that others get their chance as well. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. And I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment. So as you're stepping down, in response to Representative Hunt's, in his question was the premise that you might want all of those entities in the South Metro Business District into one legislative district. We've heard discussion about whether that's advantageous to have those entities like that all in one district, or whether perhaps it's more advantageous to have several legislators looking out for a particular area. So I'm just putting that out there as something we've discussed. Is it better to have one legislator and keep a community together, or have a couple of legislators looking out for the interest of one entity? So
thank
just
you.
Something else to think about. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're moving on with Dale Seal or Searle, Laurie Hine, and Connor Allen.
Did you miss our chow in there?
No. Yeah, just so you know, we're going in order of arrival. Were you with Mr. Chow? Were you with Mr. Seal?
Oh, we're separate.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
We'll let this panel go first, and then we'll have you up, Mr. Seal, after that. So, Mr. Chow, are you providing some visual aids or for him?
Yeah. Can they hold it up?
Sure, that's just fine. Okay. Why don't you go ahead first?
Okay. Thank you, Representative Lisley and committee members, Chair and members. I feel like Dale Seal from Happy Valley. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no monitor up here. I feel like as a citizen of, representative of Happy Valley, I'm ground zero for the victimization of the last redistricting process that was conducted primarily by Mr. Bill Bradbury, Secretary of State. You guys can all be our heroes in Happy Valley and the Clackamas area by figuring this out so that it doesn't go to the Secretary of State. It was a very unpleasant situation. You've ended up with 63,355 many confused and frustrated constituents and voters out here, because we've had if I could pronounce this right, inconsistent boundary lines that did not, I believe, follow the law. I believe if you talk to most citizens and residents and parents and homeowners in Clackamas County, they know they live in Clackamas County, and they do consider that a community of interest. They consider their schools very important to them. They know that they're in Clackamas and not in Multnomah County. They also know that if they activate the EMS system, they're not going to get a Portland police out there. Unlike one of the previous panel, the homeowner association, who felt like, it's the EMS, it's all the same. If I pay taxes to the Clackamas County Sheriff, I don't expect the Multnomah County Sheriff to arrive in my home, no matter how bad the situation is. So I think that needs to be set aside. We pay taxes to our, when you go to get your information, you know which county entity you go to. You know that you're going to pay taxes and you can vote on the levies for your sheriff. You're going to be able to call your Clackamas County Transportation. You're going to be able to call the fire department and pay taxes to the fire district. You're going to be able to vote on your levy for your school district. And then as far as the boundary lines, I think 51 here, and this is why I asked for the maps. If you look at the way that the boundary lines were driven, you look at 51, it has a little finger in Multnomah County there. Then it goes down in Happy Valley, where I live, just happened to be. What did Mr. Bradbury have against Happy Valley that he drew us into Portland? I mean, we moved out of Portland for a reason. And then you see that after it draws out, it disenfranchises all of Happy Valley. Then the line goes back up in 51, District 51, back into Multnomah County again to grab more voters out of Multnomah County. Please, sanity must rule here. You guys can be our heroes. Like I said, please figure this out, because you have more than that as the equivalent of 100. And how much time do I have left?
You've got a minute, but actually, I'd like to, if you have a solution.
Yes, I do.
Open to solution.
Let's obey the law. The law says communities of interest, geographical, political boundaries. Like I just listed, I don't go to Multnomah County to pay my taxes or to call the EMS. Please, let's draw the lines where they belong. Let's not divide up Estacada. Let's not divide up Happy Valley. Let's not divide up Clackamas. Let's keep the cities together. Let's keep the counties apart. We'll figure it out the numeric wise, and we'll work together, and the people will be so much happier out here, and we won't be trying to figure out where to get maps, where to get information, so that we can figure out who's representing us and how do we get our problems solved. And we'll figure out our problems, we'll work together, and we'll be happy, and we'll work it out. So, am I out of time?
12 seconds. Eight, seven.
Okay, let Portland keep themselves weird. How's that?
I might say for the record that down in the Capitol, we have a terminal that is dedicated for the public to come in and draw lines. And I hope that you would take advantage. And also, there's tons of free things online as well that you can check out. But we're open to solutions. We're open to ideas. We're open to maps. We appreciate people that have submitted some. But thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Lori Hine. I live in Lake Oswego. Chair, committee, thank you for hearing us. The reason redistricting is so vital is because it is so partisan. Redistricting is done by the party in the majority, and they always do it to benefit themselves. Well, now, with a tie in the House of 30-30, the task will probably fall to the Secretary of State unless you all do what the Constitution mandates you to do and do this for us. Like Dale said, you'll be our heroes if you do this, and don't let it default. in the future, we need to design a plan that is fair and logical and consistent and, above all, permanent. I don't want to have to go through this again, as I did 10 years ago, with no real changes happening. In the course of my research of district maps, I discovered that school districts are the most symmetrical. They are based on population and proximity, and they strongly reflect the sense of community that is required for voting districts by the Oregon Constitution. School districts join our neighborhoods in ways other lines on the map cannot. They join us in the most important with our most important assets, our children. Even those who do not have children are joined with their neighborhoods because of their neighbors' children. We all feel more connected with the elementary schools in our areas, much more so than county lines or even city lines. House districts have absolutely no rhyme or reason. Every inch of Oregon is already in some school district, and by joining them together in a symmetrical fashion, we will be creating districts who are already communities. I think we can all agree that districts such as Congressional District 5, which stretches from the coast to Mount Hood, could hardly be considered a community of interest. My family has owned a home at the coast for over 50 years, and I can tell you that we feel a sense of community with everyone who lives from Astoria to Bandon or Gold Beach. And I do have family that lives in Gold Beach and Astoria, so that whole coast area should be one congressional district. I am sure that the people in Salem feel that they have had adequate representation from Congressman Kurt Schrader, but I'm not sure the people of Molalla or Dallas would agree. I'm done. Thank you very much.
Chair, committee, my name is Connor Allen. I spent most of my youth and grew up in and around Canby in what's now District 39 and 18. Representative Kenemer and I believe Mr. Kitchen already said that they thought that District 39 was composed of a good community of interest between Oregon City and Canby. And I think that that makes sense, but I could also make a good argument for combining Canby with Wilsonville or some of the rural areas and small towns in the area, in and outside of the county, like Estacada and Molalla and Hubbard. Where I grew up outside of Canby happens to be in District 18, which is a district that does cross county lines, uniting a lot of the small towns and rural areas. And I think that district also makes sense. I think that there is a good argument for crossing county lines to unite certain communities of interest. I think that you could also make a good argument for making closer connections between Oregon City and some of the, I guess, what I would call the core Portland suburbs in Clackamas County, like Lake Oswego and Westland and Gladstone, areas that are within the Metro Special District, areas that are connected by TriMet, and that are connected by Interstate 205. That, I think, sums up my opinion pretty well. Thank you for your consideration, committee.
Thank you. Members, we have 17 more people that have signed up on this list at 3 minutes each. That's just under an hour of testimony to go, and that's not asking questions. So if you keep that in mind when we're asking questions. Are there any questions for this panel?
After that, you think?
And my children go to school in Wilsonville, so I spend a lot of time in Wilsonville. You've mentioned Wilsonville and Canby as an area of interest. Could you describe how you came to that conclusion?
I think in the same way that someone from Oregon City might think that they're in a community of interest with Canby, someone from Wilsonville may not think they're in a community of interest with Canby. They may disagree with me about that. I think, though, that the community of Charbonneau creates a link between the two cities. I'm not sure that right now I could expand on that much more, but I think as a Canbyan, I feel that there is some relation. As someone from Wilsonville, they may not. So,
thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to the next panel, and that will be Kay Bridges, Paul Sands or Sods, and Chris Edmonds, please. Paul Savas, sorry.
I'm Kay Bridges, and since I did testify yesterday downtown, I'll skip the first two paragraphs because they're in my written testimony about my experience, except I want to add one thing, that I worked for the title companies for 14 years. And I think I've been sitting out here getting quite an education on my invisible precinct. That's 1183. It's that little tiny spire that goes up into the city of Portland. It's actually CD5, okay? CD5 is the gray area. You cannot see that precinct as it goes up into Portland. On the far left map, there's nothing there. I can't even see it when I'm standing up within 6 inches of it. It is so invisible, yeah. Now, you said there's a way to do some drawing. I think I want to do that after my experience with the title companies. And I'll go ahead and finish reading the rest of my testimony, if you don't mind. The precinct where I reside is connected to downtown Portland by the Macadam, Corbett, I-5, and Barber Boulevard, which run north and south. And you'll have the pictures there. It's connected to the east side of the river with Ross Island and Selwood Bridges. And its only connection to the west is down on the southwest corner of the precinct where it goes southwest to Tiger. It's more connected by traffic flow to the east and the north than it is to the south. It's in CD5, but House District 36 is also, it's in House District 36, but the rest of House District 36 is in CD1. There were even that guy named Wu signs all in this precinct because people were so confused this year, even on the I-5, by the way. The community has changed drastically in the last 10 years because of the waterfront condos on the north side, and in that you see up by the Ross Island Bridge, that's all the high-rise by OHSU. Its interests are more like the downtown and the inner east side of Portland than with single-family home dwellers. It does not have the same interest as Lake Oswego or West Lynn, but it's in the same congressional district with them. And I concentrated on the congressional districts instead of the other House districts and Senate districts in this testimony. There are still some single-family homes there in the precinct, and they're all west of Macadam, basically. There's a few houseboats on the river as well. But you have mostly the condominiums and apartment dwellers and people moving in and out of the community, which have a much more identifiable interest with the downtown Portland than they do with the part south. And since it's in an invisible precinct, it might as well incorporate it into downtown.
Ms. Bridges, we're out of time if you'd...
Yes. I am.
Okay.
I am too.
Thank you very much. Yes, and by the way, any of Erin, if you could raise your hand, she can help you get access to that program.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Chair Bonamici, committee members, my name is Paul Savas, Clackamas County Commissioner. It's kind of like my family we're talking about here today when I look at the cities, 14 cities in Clackamas County. A number of communities, a lot of it unincorporated. Half the county happens to be divided that way, cities and unincorporated areas. I believe that I'm here today because communities of interest, I think I could identify with a lot of those communities in Clackamas County. Mr. Phelps, I think, did a great job explaining the Wilsonville situation. I really do believe that. To answer Representative Hunt's question earlier, I would probably think maybe cities, by city lines in that area. It is very difficult in that area. I think that might be helpful there. The ties of those of economic interest. There's geographic challenges in Clackamas County. We have economic ties to cities, school districts, tourism, something we haven't talked about today, fire districts, transportation links in Clackamas County. If you look at some of the state highways, I think they do a pretty darn good job of identifying the linkages between, you know, especially on the southern part of Clackamas County, 211, 213, 224, and how those cities are connected. Estacada, connected to the forest. Malala, the mill, a mill town connected to the forest, and a transportation corridor for commerce in that regard, 211. We have Molino, unincorporated territory, Oregon City, Canby, Wilsonville, Lake Oswego, West Lynn, Milwaukee, unincorporated Oak Grove, North Clackamas, Jennings Lodge, 55,000 people in that community. It is a community, 55,000 people, basically most of District 40. We have Happy Valley. We have Government Camp, Welch's, Sandy. It's a huge county. And there are those ties. I would like to, what I'm asking you today is trying to keep my county whole, please. Make it simple for me. It is very difficult. It was for me to canvass this county and to talk to my constituents out there. It was amazing when I went door-to-door and looked at all the campaign material out there. You go to one door, you see one representative's material. You go a block over, there's another. It was overwhelming. It just told me how complex this is. I do not profess to know what all those district lines are or understand or have a lot of suggestions, but I can, again, speak to communities of interest, and I can identify those communities. I may indeed go down to Salem and draw some lines. Interestingly enough, school districts. Mount Hood School District goes down into Boring, but yet Clackamas Community College serves a lot of Clackamas County. That crosses over into that area as well. We heard a little bit of discussion about the Stafford Triangle. We heard some discussion about Lake Oswego and West Lynn. I agree with Representative Parrish. I really think they're two different communities. When I canvass those communities, I indeed think there are some transportation separation. I know not 43 does connect those communities. However, it is on the edge of those communities. There are other linkages, and I think that the makeup of those city councils and the people there, they are distinct. I'll just stop right here. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Chris Edmonds. I am a resident, nearly lifelong resident of West Lynn, and I'm here actually to support the assertion by my representative, Julie Parrish, that there is a well-served linkage between West Lynn and Tualatin that's represented in House District 37. You can see from your own statistics that you've provided on the deviation that the population in HD 37 has remained quite in proportion over the past decade. I believe that these communities have a number of interests in common, and I'm going to provide some anecdotal evidence to that. My family lives in West Lynn. My parents own a home there, and at the same time, my father for the past decade has operated a business out of Tualatin, which then provides construction-based services to the broader Portland metropolitan region. I have grown up in a household and in a community that doesn't necessarily recognize the county line as being any sort of political boundary per se. There's really no sort of indication when you move westward toward Tualatin that you have crossed over Clackamas County and that you're now entering Washington County, and I don't believe that that necessarily should influence your decision in how to cut House District 37. I think that the community is well served by the current configuration there. Among other things that these communities share is a mutual watershed within the Tualatin River. This is an importantly environmentally sensitive region that I think is best served by a single state representative who can work to protect that. And with that, and knowing your time constraints, I will limit my testimony to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bridges, thank you for your map. This precinct, 1183, is that the very northern tip of Congressional District 5?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Now, City 1 comes down here, City 5 is here, City 3 is over here.
Okay, thank you.
It's just surrounded. You can see it on that map.
We've heard testimony to keep cities whole, Medford keep that whole, Bend keep that whole. Portland has three congressional representatives. What is your thought on that? Should Portland have one?
Downtown Portland should have one because they have such a... there's even the northern section of the coffee shops in this precinct are a different group of people than the one down on McAdam by the businesses. And they are much more like the people that you will communicate with in downtown Portland. It's very obvious. I was so amazed when I moved into the area last August. But it's very obvious. And it's sad that you couldn't actually change this precinct because the south end of the precinct is still very residential, but there's more and more renters moving into it and more of the old-timers are moving out. So I see in the next 10 years, it will just continue to go as the south waterfront develops. It will continue to be that more metropolitan, more urban attitude in this whole precinct going south through that precinct.
Thank you. And members, can we see who might have questions for this panel just really quickly? Got Representative Parrish. Okay, Representative Parrish.
Well, I think Mr. Emmons brings up a really good point about how seamless and strange it is to drive through, you know, when you go from Westland to Tualatin. And no more precinct was that evident when you go into 252, which is, you know, one person has a Schrader sign up and the next person has right next door has a Cornelis sign up, and they're two different congressional districts and they live right next door to each other in the middle of the same precinct. I think I've got a lot of constituents who work in West Lynn and or live in West Lynn, work in Tualatin, and you just don't even know where that line is. And I think a lot of neighbors are confused where that line is, and they live right next door to each other. So you brought up a great point. Thank you.
Representative, could I speak to that? Students that are in 252, my name's Chris Edmonds, sorry about that. Residents that live in 252 send their children to the West Lynn Wilsonville School District. So I think that that's very important to consider, that there is a direct linkage between those two communities of Tualatin and West Lynn, whereas there's no cross there in terms of districts between Lake Oswego and West Lynn. So I, again, think that that supports keeping West Lynn and Tualatin together.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. We'll move on to our next panel. That will be Susan Trafton, Stephen Trafton, and Senator Alan Olson.
Hey, you got your turn.
Can I get my turn?
He's been waiting all that.
Go ahead.
I start?
Yeah.
My name is Senator Alan Olson. I represent Senate District 20, which entails House District 40 and House District 39. I'm here basically just to talk about a little bit about my district and the commonality of it, but it's interesting when I look at the map, I didn't realize that Representative Hunt, Representative Kenner, and myself represented what appears to be the Energizer Bunny. Our district is quite interesting. The one thing I wanted to point out is there's been a lot of talk in the past year about the new Sunrise Corridor that would come through. That's Highway 224. And basically, I have a little point, a little finger, if you will, that goes on the east side of Milwaukee over to 82nd Avenue up to the Multnomah County border. If Sunrise Corridor, in fact, comes to fruition, this will basically make this an island of a community of interest. It's right now, 224 does go through there. It's an industrial commercial area, and it's more in line with Happy Valley and Senate District 21, which is just to the west of it, I should say. It's kind of interesting that Gladstone is a beautiful little community. That Senate House District 40 is a beautiful little area with Jennings Lodge and Oak Lodge and Johnson City and Gladstone. A very nice community of homes. Most people, I believe, probably work down in the city somewhere. Whereas we come down into House District 39, it's very rural, very farm, and very spread out. Well-combined area, I see that House District 40 needs to pick up a few folks. And so I think probably if we look at our borderline that we use for House District 40, which is the Clackamas River, and we define our entire My Senate District 20 as west side the Willamette River, the east side 205, and then around down south into Canby and Oregon City and Beaver Creek. I see some area for improvement and movement, perhaps adding Charbonneau to my district where I need to actually pick up 2,500 folks, but I see Kenner needs to lose a few. And I can see possibly that Representative Hunt could move east and pick up some areas of community of interest in there along 224, because the community seems to be just about the same, and it's industrial, and it goes out, and it would tie that Sunrise Corridor into our district. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, I'm Susan Trafton, and I'm just going to read what I wrote. It's short. I live in the Westwood area of Clackamas County. Our house is located in Congressional District 5, Senate District 20, and House District 40. We think of our neighborhood as part of the Portland region, and our neighborhood is made up of nice middle-class homes, and we know our neighbors up and down the streets, and there's a real sense of community spirit there. We like to be called Westwood. It used to be Westwood Thriftway, and we can leave our doors unlocked if we want to. We really do know our neighbors. If there's somebody that is in need or in the hospital, we know up and down the street. It's really a nice little subdivision. My personal preference for shopping is going north, the Selwood area, downtown Hawthorne area, Portland. I use 99E most of the time to do my traveling into Portland. I rarely go across the Willamette River to do any shopping or business. Another divide for our community is the I-205 freeway. I very rarely go out to boring Estacada or the rural areas. What makes this area so great is that I can be in downtown Portland in 20 minutes. If you must redraw our district, I ask that you incorporate more of Southeast Portland into our area. Thank you. You can see by our map where exactly we're located, because I got this map off the internet also, and I was like, where do I live? I can't see it. So Google Maps, and I wrote right there, this is where our house is, and you'll see I'll show it to you.
Yeah.
You know, 99E, and then here's the I-205. It's just like a nice V that will go up. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Steve Trafton. This is going to sound real familiar. I, too, live off Webster Road in the Milwaukee area of Clackamas County. I'm in Congressional District 5, Senate District 20, and House District 40. I work in the Clackamas industrial area, and I oversee my company's warehouse and distribution process. We do most of our banking and shopping and restaurants that we go to are in the Southeast Portland region. We go to concerts and sporting events, you know, Trailblazers, Winterhawks. And we use McLaughlin a lot, so we go head north from where we live. And most of our friends are in the Portland metro area. The Willamette River divides Milwaukee and West Lynn and the Lake Oswego areas, and we would soon go to a downtown area to do most of our shopping and stuff like that versus going over to West Lynn or Lake Oswego because of the constraints of there's only one bridge to go across now. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Garrett.
I just have to comment. Representative Hunt often accuses me of living in the other Clackamas County. Lake Oswego. But, you know, it's striking. I can go down to the Willamette River in Lake Oswego, and I'm looking across the river at Milwaukee or Oak Grove, and on a good day I could hit a golf ball across the river and land in that district, and yet it feels like a world away because to get there, you have to go either all the way up to Selwood and back down, we're all the way down to Oregon City and back up. And so it is a very distinct feeling.
Yes.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
Next up is Justin Bloom, John McCabe, and Eleanor Hunter. And just so you know, next in the queue will be Gail Holmes, Casey Flesch, and Herb Chow. Okay, go ahead.
Senator Bonamici and committee members, my name is Justin Bloom. I've lived in Oregon pretty much all my life, left for a little bit and realized that it wasn't as good anywhere else, so I came back. I've lived here in Clackamas County for about 10 years now. And, you know, I agree with definitely a lot of what I've heard other people say. I think that the county lines can be a good starting point. I do think that the city lines should take precedence over county lines, though. I think that cities are definitely, I would say they're a stronger community of interest than a county would necessarily be. Cities share a lot of things in common, and at the same time, I do think that, you know, school districts need to be, they need to be paid attention to also. I think, you know, looking specifically at, you know, at House District 18, you know, we have Malala, Malino, Colton, Silverton, very small sliver of Estacada. It's kind of strange the way it kind of goes up and takes in just a little tiny piece of Estacada. And I think a couple specific things, like with Malino. Malino is cut in half. I know that, you know, that's one I know specifically because that's close to where I live. I think it's a very strange way that border is. It's, you know, it should, I think that whole boundary should move up further north. I do think that Malino is, you know, I think it's shares a lot of common interests with Malala, and really all of it should be part of Malala. There is, we are actually 1,500, about 1,500 people short of the goal, and I think that would help us pick up a number of people to get us closer to that number. Estacada, I've looked at, you know, looking at Estacada, I think that something needs to be done there. I think if we were to take in Estacada, I think that they do also share a lot of common interests with Malala. It may put us over the target number, but so I'm not sure exactly what needs to be done, but I think that those lines there definitely need to be looked at. I want to really do want to thank you guys for giving me a chance to for listening to what I have to say. I really hope that can keep it, you know, keep this in the hands of the legislature and not have it, you know, default to the Secretary of State. I think that, you know, I think, I mean, this is something that really has to be a nonpartisan effort. I mean, it really does. Just one more thing, and I'll end up, and I'll end it.
Thank you.
I was, you know, just curious about the possibility of actually having an independent commission doing it. I mean, I think it's just something that could be looked at, having an independent commission to actually do the redistricting process and, you know, delegating it to them. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is John McCabe. When we're talking of communities of interest, even though I do at this time live in what would be considered District 37, some of the areas that are of concern versus the last redistricting is that that the cities were not divided if they were population of 50,000 or less. One of the issues we have now is the addresses. So as has been testified today by Representative Parrish, that she represents part of Wilsonville. She represents part of Wilsonville addresses. They don't actually live in the city of Wilsonville. And so when we're looking at doing the division of setting up the new districts, we have to look at actually the addresses, not where the city is. And then also when we talk of communities of interest, there is huge difference in communities of interest of West Lynn and unincorporated West Lynn. West Lynn, they've gotten used to living with a certain number of housing density. Unincorporated West Lynn, Commissioner Salas and I were both at a meeting today where you have people that want to grow the new crop of houses, even though they've been on farms for centuries, more than a century. My in-laws are on one of the century farms, and you have all these people coming in wanting to grow houses instead. Therefore, the community of interest within the same community, there's this very huge definition of difference of those that want to keep it at, with the infrastructure that existed there, and those that want to build just because it pays better than the crops, and that is true, it does pay better than crops. But that's what you have within its own residential area, different communities of interest. And so when it comes to communities of interest, I think a lot of people have talked about that today, and you have to really look at the fact that not all the time will you have communities of interest. You have to go with what is it adjacent to and to make up the numbers, because a lot of people have called it gerrymandering. And yet what I look at is if you're within a certain area, that's fine. And the other thing that has not been brought up today is what standard deviation does the law allow? I know 63,850 has been asked of the numbers, but I know under federal law you're allowed a certain deviation, which doesn't seem to be brought up by anybody, and therefore the lines can have a little flex where there's been a huge population growth in the last 10 years and forecasted population growth for the next 10 years, so that you don't have to be constrained exactly to the number 63,850. As for division of Portland, of having separate congressional districts on each side of the river, that's been going on for at least 60 years. I don't see why in one redistricting we change it, that what has been historically done in this state, until maybe if we, on the next census, we get another sixth seat, then that can be discussed.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Eleanor Hunter, and I'm the chair of the Oak Lodge Community Council. And Oak Lodge is one of those small CPOs, the citizen planning organizations, in that North Clackamas unincorporated area. We're entirely within House District 40. Oak Grove is in the midst of a great change right now with the McLaughlin area plan. And so there are four different things that I'd like you to consider when you're looking at House District 40. One of the things is, again, with Oak Lodge, we're about to get the Orange Line coming into our area. We are much more oriented north and south, and with our increasing integration with the Portland Metro Economic Area. There's also a possibility of incorporation for some or all of those North Clackamas unincorporated areas. Part of that is we currently have the North Clackamas Parks and Rec District, we have a Sanitary and Water District, we have these separate districts, but where is it that we overlap in those ways? Again, we look primarily north and south. With the McLaughlin Area Plan, we really connect with Jennings Lodge and Gladstone. Those are the parts that are currently within House District 40. There are very few and very poor east-west connections in that way. Clearly, on the opposite side of the Willamette River, I agree with Representative Garrett, we have no connection with them whatsoever as far as other than looking across the street or hearing music from the bandstand sometimes. Very pretty, but, you know, there's really no connection. There are many of us who would love to have a pedestrian bridge so that we could walk back and forth. But at this point, our relationships really run north-south. They don't run east-west. There's the Oatfield Ridge. That's one of the geographic barriers. And one of the main things in the Oak Grove area that are vital to the people in that area are really the protection and restoration of our watersheds and our tree canopy and our other natural systems. So that's what we'd like to help stay kept together. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Regarding deviation, Representative Garrett went to a much better law school than I did. I'm wondering if you could just give them a heads up on what the deviation standards are.
Well, I don't know about that, but we for congressional lines, of course, it's really down to the individual. We have to be equal. For legislative boundaries, we have a little more latitude, but population is still the one issue that's of a constitutional dimension, and we do have more latitude, but there is no safe harbor. We can depart from the target population a little bit if there's a compelling reason to do it, but by and large, we have to be pretty close to the target.
Thank you. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment about Mr. McCabe. You brought up a good point about the difference between addresses and city limits, and we had some testimony yesterday. Actually, Representative Harker was with us out at PCC Rock Creek, and he and I are in the same situation. We live in unincorporated Washington County in the Beaverton School District, and we have Portland addresses. So just to let you know, it's not the...
In addition to that, Tiger zip code, in addition to all the things you mentioned.
Right.
Where I live.
A point to let you know how challenging this is. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks. Next up is Gail Holmes, Casey Flesch, and Herb Chow. And while they're coming up, I thought it'd be, I've mentioned this several times, the members are probably sick of me saying this, but it's a great statistic that I just like to cite, and that is, in 2006, 38% of state representative and senatorial districts went unchallenged. What that means is 38% of the times, and this is nationwide, 38% of the times neither a Republican nor a Democrat ran for that seat. And also 86% that same year of congressional House of Representatives seats, they were 86% were won by double-digit margins. And political science scientists say that that's a solid win. So we hope that competition is good, that we can do this in a way that gives hearty and healthy debates and good competitive districts.
Mr. Co-Chair, can I just make a comment
sure.
about that? Because I've been thinking about that lately, and I think if you look at the present makeup of the House and Senate, it's pretty hard to argue that they aren't competitive districts.
Yes, we've had some great competition, including mine. Go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you. My name is Casey Flesch. I live in Oregon City in House District 39, and I'm happy to be represented by the Honorable Senator Olson for District 20. Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for coming to Clackamas County to get our input on such an important matter as redistricting. As a native Oregonian, I'm happy to finally see the legislature making a real effort to do what Oregonians deserve, create a bipartisan redistricting plan in the legislature, and not bicker so much that this ends up in the hands of a single person, the Secretary of State. The fact that your committee has had these meetings throughout the state shows us that you are taking this seriously. Thank you, and I hope your resolve to finish this the right way has grown even stronger as a result of hearing from Oregonians outside of Salem. I live in Oregon City, in fact, in the oldest neighborhood west of the Mississippi, the McLaughlin neighborhood. I serve on our city's Urban Renewal Budget Committee and get to our city council meetings as much as I can. House District 39 is one of the few logically drawn districts in Clackamas County because it takes advantage of some natural and historical political boundaries. On our north and west, we have the Willamette River, a traditional demarcation line of commerce and people. Our district includes the two cities of Canby and Oregon City, as well as the agricultural areas in between them. I urge the committee to leave this aspect of our district intact, since this area forms a natural grouping of people with common interests. From a broader perspective, I'd like to share some thoughts on Clackamas County as a whole. Right now, there are several of our house districts that share space with Multnomah County. In almost every case, there is no legitimate reason for this. The lines seem arbitrary at best, politically motivated at worst. People in Clackamas County want districts that reflect our various communities based on common interests, not the result of political opportunism. I ask you to see Clackamas County as I do, a very large, very diverse county that is pretty unique. Our individual communities want to be represented as such. Thank you.
That's out of order, though.
It took me a word.
All right. I like things to be in order. Gail Holmes. I live in West Lynn. I've lived there for 18 years, raised my family there. And so I'm in Precinct 130, which is North Willamette, and I'm House 37, Senate 19, and CD 5. And I'm on the West Lynn Planning Commission right now, so I find all this fun being on this side of the stage instead of there. So I just really want to point out that I like the way our district is set up right now. As you've heard, West Lynn and Wilsonville share a school district, and when your children are connected, that does create a very strong community with the families and such. And so those two, especially to me, are so important to stay together. Tualatin is very close to us, and I have to disagree with one of the counselors earlier. I shop in Tualatin, so I feel very connected to Tualatin also. And our water system is with Gladstone, Oregon City, and West Lynn. And again, that's a bond there. I don't see the bond with Lake Oswego. They live next door to us, and we share many things such as the love of lattes, but that's about all I can see in common with them. And we're known as the City of Trees, so maybe you don't know that either. Our fire district is Tualatin Valley, so you know that is another connection. When we take a bus in West Lynn, we transfer over in Oregon City. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. If you want to go from Willamette down to downtown Portland, you have to go to Oregon City before you can go do that. Now, and when I'm in Oregon City, I might transfer and go up to Milwaukee. That might be kind of fun, or maybe transfer, go up to the Clackamas Mall and take the Green Line in that way. But anyway, I just wanted you to kind of visually think about how we are connected and how we're not. Now, I'm also on the West Lynn Chamber. So when we do chamber events, it's been with Wilsonville and Sherwood and Tualatin and West Lynn. Again, well, Lake Oswego's next to us, but we don't do chamber activities with them. So in closing, I just really want you to keep the West Lynn and Wilsonville areas together. Makes more sense to me. And with our District 37, I think that we need to take away 107 people according to the data that you all have. And so I think Julie Parrish was correct. Representative Parrish was correct by saying that the portion of Lake Grove should maybe be with Ace 38, because it's like Oswego.
Herb Chow, I'm a consultant by trade. I'm also I trade stocks as well and other things. I do a lot of consulting with businesses in Portland, in Clackamas County, and other areas for doctors who are trying to figure out how to wade through this complex system created by our government for healthcare. I wanted to reiterate something about what happened with Dale Seale, that he didn't get up here. If you can look at these two maps, this is a Clackamas County map here. And since we're talking about commonality of interest here, this is Clackamas County. This is Happy Valley District here. And this is Happy Valley shoveled into Multnomah County. Very little, you can't even get the size. Now, if the counties can't even get where the maps are correct and scaled properly, that should say something to us right there. Let me move on about a couple of things I want to make, points I want to make with you about community of interest. I come from Portland, Oregon, lived there for over 33 years, came to Happy Valley. The reason why I came to Happy Valley is because I found folks in Clackamas County very different than Multnomah County. Not all folks in Multnomah County but quite a few. I found that in Clackamas County, folks work for a living. They don't expect handouts. They don't think that having the unions bullying everybody to get what they want, these kinds of things are good. And let me give you a recent example on what's different, and let me just show you the numbers on this because this is kind of staggering. You folks have heard about the vehicle registration fee, right? The new proposal in Clackamas County. We got five commissioners, and until Paul Savas came along, we had zero representation. All the rest of them had support from Multnomah County. It turns out that on this new vehicle registration fee that was shoveled through on Thanksgiving Eve, it turns out that 6% of the support is coming from Clackamas County. The rest of it's coming from Multnomah County, Lane County, and even New Jersey is named in there, and the unions. Now, in Multnomah County, that was acceptable behavior. They considered that a commonality and community of interest, where it's okay if people kind of cheated. But this thing gets a little worse. It goes to the Selwood Bridge, where now they're going to say to Clackamas County, you go ahead and you take a $22 million bond, you shovel it over to Portland, Multnomah County, to pay for the Clackamas County, for the Selwood Bridge in Portland, Multnomah County. Then you shovel $20 million out to the light rail project to Milwaukee, $1.5 billion. Now, this is perfectly acceptable for Portland folks, for Multnomah County folks. It's not acceptable for Clackamas County folks.
Mr. Chair.
In closing here, my point to saying is that there are definite differences between Clackamas County and Multnomah County. Getting Happy Valley shoveled into part of Multnomah County is unfair, and that line should be drawn at the county. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Okay, thank you. Next up is Representative Tootie Smith. Is she here? Come on up. And Ken Howard. And is there a William Myers here? And Lynelle Vandermolen.
Where's Judy? Not the ticker, right? Yeah. You're not even on the committee.
And just so you know, we after this panel, we'll have four more people who will be Ken Howard, Fred Youngbluth.
Ken's here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Three more people. Fred Youngbluth, John Lee, Jr., and Rob Wheeler. Go ahead.
Want me to start?
Yes, thank you.
Well, thanks for coming out here on a Saturday. I'm going to get right into it. My name is Tootie Smith from Malala, Oregon. According to census data, Multnomah County gained a population of 33,000 residents. Using guidelines laid out in ORS 188 would indicate that is equal to 11.5 house districts. Those house districts which reside in Multnomah County should stay in Multnomah County and not spread out into outlying areas beyond county borders, as it is in violation of common community interests. Likewise, Congressional District 1 has gained 36,000 residents. That would indicate geographic portions of CD1 within Multnomah County, and especially that portion within the city limits of Portland, should shed to current district, Congressional District 3. This will allow as many Portlanders as possible to share their community of common interest in one congressional district. Drawing one congressional district for the city of Portland also conforms to, quote, respect existing boundaries, close quote, in ORS 188. Drawing the city of Portland in one congressional district with the many bridges, mass transit options, and other vital transportation links also conforms to statute. To do otherwise insults the voters in all three districts and further isolates contact with their elected representatives. Only 15% of the population of Oregon resides within the city of Portland. So having three congressional districts, three-fifths of the entire Oregon congressional delegation, boundaries in Portland smacks of gerrymandering. Oregonians are much smarter than that. In closing, I would add that knowing the extreme difficulty for the legislature to develop a redistricting plan, I was in the Oregon House the last time this was done, should pass legislation that would appoint a nonpartisan grassroots citizens commission to do this work. Many other states have done so. This is a huge task that oftentimes results with the party in power or the elected incumbent with an unfair amount of leverage. ORS 188 says, quote, that no district shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring any political party, incumbent legislator, or any other person, close quote. This task allows for too much temptation for those in power, regardless of party affiliation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Chair and co-chair and co-chairs and committee, thank you for your time. My name is Ken Howard. I live in Eagle Creek. I've been there for 30 years. I was born here in Oregon City. And I have three short points. One, the first one is that I think that political entities are important, such as especially county and city. And I think we need to keep, cities together, even if they cross county boundaries. But whenever possible, keep counties separate. Point number two is that there's a lot of difference between economically and culturally, especially between large cities such as Portland and Beaverton and Hillsboro, Tigard, that kind of thing, compared to smaller towns and obviously country and suburbs. And so I think we really do think a lot differently out in the country or out in small towns than we do in the city. And so I think that political boundaries need to be, or congressional districts, house districts need to be really keep those cities separate, the big cities especially, separate from the rest of us, because they overwhelm us by sheer numbers. And there tends to be a common political affiliation as well in large cities. It just overwhelms us. So it's really not fair to us, the rest of us out there, when we combine cities with the rest of us. And so I was thinking of if there's any way, I live in Eagle Creek, House District 52 is right next to 51, and then in Estacada, they both meet together. And it's very confusing to people. When I go door to door for a candidate, oftentimes I can almost not even tell which district I'm in from door to door. So it's very confusing. So we need to make it as simple as possible. And then my last point is that since I'm in CD3, which is overwhelmed by Portland, my vote in my area out in the country where we have lots of Christmas trees and shrubs and all that kind of stuff, we're just not heard at all. And so at least we could be heard if we were in a House district or Senate district, in this case congressional district, that was away from the big cities. Because as it is, we don't get hurt at all. So that's, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Members of the committee, I was pretty much raised in Wilsonville, and I've lived in, I've owned a home in Tualatin for the last 14 years. This is Congressional District 5, Senate District 19.
Could you please state your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry, Lanil Vandermolen. And I'm also represented in House District 37. I haven't often thought that my interests meshed with the concerns of my elected officials, because several House and Senate districts radiate out from the center of Portland through the rural communities surrounding the area. And that means that the surrounding suburbs aren't really represented by the Portland metro area because of the districting that goes through both of them. One tends to be more heavily represented than another. And it means that urban Portland dominates the small town or rural life further out. Likewise, my state senator also represents portions of Clackamas, Washington, and Multnomah counties, whose population, culture, and economies are so different than my semi-rural area, which is more farms. The requirement of the Oregon 1979 districting statute requires for the lines to be drawn around communities of common interest, but it's been so weakly enforced that the only challenge was in 1991, and it involved three houses that were arbitrarily placed in a different district than the rest of their neighborhood. And the Oregon Supreme Court didn't really clarify or reinforce this case because it finally decided that the line was just mistakenly drawn. So time has moved on with many of our towns or areas still divided illogically, and Tualatin is a really good example of that because our city is divided east to west by not only different congressional districts but different counties, even though we feel like one community. So if we had a new overlay of Senate or House districts that were illogical on top of that, it just divides our community arbitrarily. So I'd like to see maps that are drawn as concave as possible. It would really ease my doubts that I'm upon in any kind of political ambition of sitting legislators. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Garrett.
Thank you. Probably for Tudy and maybe for Mr. Howard, too, on the congressional lines.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard some suggestions that Portland should be in one district because mm-hmm. it would fit within one district. If we did that, of course, we'd still be 200,000 people short. The premise of your argument seems to be that people who are in the city limits of Portland are very different from those who are outside the city limits, and I actually disagree with that, but let's assume you're right. Which 200,000 people would we disserve by putting them with the city of Portland? I just don't know how we do that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garrett, thank you. I think you misunderstood the premise of my argument saying that Portland should entail one House district. I don't think people necessarily outside the city boundaries are different from the inside. That's just a point of clarification. What could be done with the city of Portland area is proportionately it just expand the boundaries in even areas, but not necessarily carve out. Just take the boundaries of the city in Portland and just expand it like you would be blowing up a balloon until you got your dedicated population. Because I think the closer people live together, the more commonalities their interests become.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next up we'll have Fred Youngbluth, John Lee, and Rob Wheeler. Has anyone else arrived? This is our last panel. Anybody else arrived that needs to testify? Okay, thank you. This will be our last panel then.
Good afternoon or evening now. My name is Fred Youngbluth. I'm a resident of Happy Valley, an employee here in Clackamas County with the Clackamas County 911. I think as a county employee in emergency services, it's very easy to quickly get a pulse of the communities of service or communities of connection within the county, and would like to mirror some opinions that have already been brought forth. Clackamas County is made up of stark differences between incorporated cities, unincorporated suburban areas, and high-quality farmland and natural features in its vast rural areas. Lake Oswego, Wilsonville, Canby, Milwaukee, Sandy, Westland, Happy Valley, and Oregon City are distinct in their mid-sized cities in the Portland metropolitan area, each having their own flavor and ideology. I think it makes more sense as no city within Clackamas County can have its own house district that you need to incorporate, obviously, unincorporated areas. There are cities that tie together better than others historically. Wilsonville and Sherwood, Tualatin, they seem to fit better together than other cities. Lake Oswego with Southwest Portland and Dunthorpe, Milwaukee with deep Southeast Portland. Happy Valley along with Southeast Portland doesn't seem to make that much sense. There isn't the bond between the two. There's no transportation linkage between those two areas forming the same house district. Also, I feel with your decision making that, you know, it's very difficult to make these lines, and somebody's always going to be along a border. I think cities need to be kept whole within their areas, and that's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to thank the committee for this opportunity, and especially for those of you that have stayed to the end. My name is John Lee, Jr. I live in Boring, Oregon. House District 52, Senate District 26, one of the few CD3 people here, and Precinct 405. I'm testifying today as a concerned citizen and a high-tech businessman. As I'm sure you're aware, Boring is a rural area in unincorporated Clackamas County. We're not a city, a village, or a hamlet. We are outside the metro region. We are an area between Damascus, Sandy, Gresham, and Estacada. If it wasn't for our unique name and the fact that we had an early regional post office, you wouldn't know who we are. Boring is a place, not just a state of mind. Gotta laugh. Well, I also note that Boring and House District 52 barely even show on your maps, and I notice that you make the note that we're not even part of the Portland metro area. Much of my testimony will touch on points others have already addressed, so I will attempt to be brief. First, redistricting is the job of the legislature and not the executive committee or the executive branch. The legislature has continuously failed to perform their duties on this account. I strongly encourage you to come to a nonpartisan compromise that can be passed in the legislature and signed by the governor without going through the Secretary of State. If you cannot do this with a very split legislature, you should finally recognize that you will never get it done. And you should pass out a constitutional amendment to the vote of the people, establishing an independent, nonpartisan committee, most likely of judges that are retired, to perform this task next time. Second, as I've read information concerning redistricting, I continue to see the concept of communities of interest. This is very important to me, since Boring sits at the urban-rural divide, which is one of the most significant factors affecting our state and community and country. The urban folk don't understand us, rural folk, and the vice versa. Laws, transportation, funding, almost everything is different between these communities. That being said, we want to be represented by someone that understands our concerns and our community. Boring should not be included in a House district or a Senate district with Gresham or Damascus. We have much more in common with the Mount Hood communities and the rural unincorporated parts of Clackamas County outside of the metro region. I ask that you maintain the status quo and leave Boring in HD 52 and SD 26. Last, thank you for opening this process to the local testimony and not making me drive all the way to Salem to provide you only written testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for listening today. I hope I'm not too redundant. I didn't hear all the earlier testimony. I'm Rob Wheeler. I live in Happy Valley, which is Congressional District 3. And I was the last mayor of Happy Valley as well. And I was here 10 years ago as a city councilman to testify against redistricting 10 years ago. They listened in that our city was divided 10 years ago, and we've had a lot of annexations in Happy Valley. We're actually the fastest growing city in the state. I don't know if you're aware of that. It's growth of housing as well as through annexation over the last 10 years. But our city was split in half. Half was in Clackamas County on the original map, and half was in Multnomah. I came to testify. Said we belong in Clackamas County. Our common interests, our economic interests, are in Clackamas County, not Multnomah. They listened. Because they took our city as a whole, but they put it all in Multnomah County, took it completely out of Clackamas County. That is not our economic nor common interest. We belong in Clackamas County. We would like to see the line redrawn, take that carve out of Multnomah County, and carve us right back into Clackamas County. We feel that's where we belong. I also agree with some earlier testimony about Portland having
way too much influence statewide. There are three congressional districts that touch Portland now as of redistricting 10 years ago, and that's just too much influence for a city that really only represents 15% of our statewide population. And I would certainly pray and love to see this decision come out of the legislature and not from the Secretary of State. So please do your best to come to agreement. We'd appreciate it in Happy Valley. Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. I think it's great that Happy Valley is sitting next to Boring.
We're trying to liven them up.
Yeah. Are there any questions for this panel? Okay. Thank you. Before adjournment, we have some individuals that have submitted testimony without public testimony, and I just have to read that in the record. Bob Thorne from Clackamas County, Westland, on April 9th, 2011, when we received it. And we now hereby close this public hearing for the House Redistricting Committee.
And I close the Senate Committee.